Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Tara Walker, your host for Out of the Box, the one show keeping it 100 all the time, where everyone connects from the four corners of the world. Live news,
live people,
drama behind the scenes,
marriage,
health,
love,
cheating,
and lust.
Sponsored by American Muslim 360.
Exclusively on Muslim Heat Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. It is a kind of a windy morning here in California. We've been having some hot weather here. And now, brothers and sisters, it's cold. This morning we've got breezes blowing and clouds and all sorts of kind of things going on. But mashallah, Allah knows best. Welcome to the show Out of the Box. On Muslim Heat Radio, sponsored by American Muslim 360. And today, we have a pretty good show coming to you live. We've got Imam Sadiq Jihad, the author of The Language of Revelation. He's going to share with us today how to grasp the spirit of the Quran.
How to grasp the spirit of the Quran. That's going to be pretty intense. I want to grasp the spirit of the Quran and try to get some of its essence, you know, and apply it in my life, because it could be a transforming experience. Also today, we have Charlie Tuna coming by the box. A little bit later on in the show, we got the word of the day and many more things. We want some thoughts about how you're staying positive in today's world. So please, callers and listeners, if you're online, call 646-716-4478. The number again is 646-716-4478. Right now, you know what? I feel like playing something new. Actually, by Connie Muhammad, a.k.a. Nutmeg. And the song is called FOI, Fruit of Islam. Kind of like it. It's a nice song. It's very soothing, very, you know, for you and your honey to listen to, you know. But it's a nice song. Listen to the words, inshallah. I'll see you in a minute. This is a great show today. Sadiq Jihad is going to be speaking on how to grasp the spirit of the Quran. Charlie Tuna is going to talk to us about his latest passions. And we want to get your thoughts about staying positive in today's world right here on Out of the Box. Right now, we're going to give a little bit of Connie Muhammad, a.k.a. Nutmeg, FOI, right here on Out of the Box on Muslim Heat Radio. Thank you. Always some technical difficulties going on, but it's okay. We're going to be all right. I'm trying to play the song, but the song doesn't want to play. Okay, I'll play one of my favorite songs. Let me see if the other song will play that I love, which is Bodica Blue, Love and Light. Let's see if that goes through all right. No, you know, we're having some FYI for your information problems this morning. Inshallah, we'll be all right. All righty. Refresh the page. And come on online and give and talk to us. You know, let us know your thoughts. If you have questions, things of this nature, so that we can share our knowledge and advice for one another as well. You know, go online to, I think it's AmericanMuslim360 .com and click on the chat room and let me know what you think. You can even let us know what you think on that show, what's going on and things of this nature. If you're listening right now, I'm going to get to your phone calls, but it's pretty hard to get to your phone calls right now. I see your hands up. I'm coming to you. It's technical difficulties today. I am trying to get this to work properly. So, inshallah, hold on tight, 313-818. I know you're there, Mara. Hang on for a second. I'm trying to get this board to do what I need it to do, inshallah. So, hold on one second. Let's get Connie Nutmeg on while I figure out why my board is acting up, inshallah. My sister is at the Revlon walk today, and I wanted to bring her online to give us a little update on where it is
how many people are there and whatnot. She's there with her family, which is pretty awesome. They're walking together. I don't know if she's going to walk a lot, you know. Maybe she will. But inshallah, we're going to get to her. Once I get this board working correctly, I'm trying to get to your phone calls, inshallah. Go ahead and go online and log into the chat room and get your questions ready for today's show, inshallah. Let's get Connie on here if we can so I can fix this board. Give me a minute, guys. Inshallah. See if we get another switchboard in here. Will it work better? I want to talk, but it won't let me talk. This is unreal. Inshallah. I'm still trying to fix it. I cannot get to any of the phone calls at this point. Please just hang on the line. It says callers on the air, and I'm trying to get it to work, but it's not working this morning for whatever reason. So please just bear with me. We're trying to get some songs on and trying to get this board working, and unfortunately it's not working. So inshallah, can't even play music at this point. I think what I'm going to do, inshallah. Thank you for tuning in to Out of the Box. We're supposed to have Imam Sadiq Jihad on the line today to speak with us about how to grasp the spirit of the Quran, how to grasp some of its essence. Inshallah, we will get to that. However, at this point, we are trying to get this board to do what it's supposed to do, and it is really doing something else at this point. So, inshallah, we will be able to talk to everyone, inshallah. So, still having difficulties. Okay, bear with me, people. Bear with me, inshallah. Blog Talk is not allowing me to actually go into the calls at this point. So until I get some help from somebody, which I'm waiting for right now because I can't click your call in, the art of schmoozing. You know, a lot of people are very afraid to talk to other people about business or, you know, just even saying a simple hello. But the art of schmoozing, especially for women, a lot of women are, you know, especially being Muslim, we're not supposed to talk to a lot of men. But men are masters at building the right network to advance their careers, you know. And so we should take a page from their playbook with a little bit of their, you know, a little bit of tips on how to schmooze. And one of the things is to perfect your pitch. Like when you're talking to people, you know, we don't want to talk to them in a rude voice or a loud voice where we're blowing out their eardrums my name is, you know, Tara, and I want to talk to you about some things. It's like, okay, do you want me to really take you serious? Okay, no. People might, unless you actually talk like that, because there are some people who have the Minnie Mouse voice, you know, which is okay. But say hello with a smile, you know, and then express who you are, what you do, and how you can help them. That's always important. You know, once people see that you want to help them, they're more encouraged to actually give you what you need in order to succeed and vice versa. So, inshallah,
That's a good little tip for you. And I'm still not able to get these callers online. Please don't go anywhere, callers. Inshallah, we'll get you there in a minute. I see you, Imam Sadiq, and Ms. Walker. I do, but I'm having difficulty. So, inshallah, give me 1 minute because nothing is doing what it's supposed to do here. Inshallah. Okay, Assalamu alaikum. I hope you can still hear me. I just called someone to actually come and fix so that we can get these calls in and actually play, you know, all the things that we need to play for today because it is kind of doing its own thing today, unfortunately. So please bear with me. I would like to say, what do you think, callers? And, you know, go ahead and click on to click you in so that you can express what you're thinking. Go online, too, and set up a profile on American Muslim 360 so you can chat with us online. We're ready to go. So whatever questions you may have or you want to express some thoughts for today on how you are dealing with the things in the world on a positive level, please go ahead and do that. And while we're waiting for this to be fixed, how you can support these shows, go to AmericanMuslim360.com, click on membership. Seniors and youth are $14.95. Then we have adults for $24.95. And that's just organizations and businesses are $99. And with that $99 membership, you get a free commercial for 30 days, play 7 days for the whole 4 weeks, every day, 3 to 4 hours a day, 3 to 4 times a day. Doesn't that sound good, Mara? I know I haven't clicked on yet, but you get what I'm saying, right? So go ahead one more time. It's AmericanMuslim360.com, and go ahead and click on membership. And get your membership today to support all the shows, inshallah. I'm still trying to get this fixed, so I'm just going to talk until it's fixed. I happen to be talking to a few people about the show today, about Imam Sadiq Jihad being on the show today to talk with us about how to grasp the Quran and just grab a little bit of its essence. I was kind of confronted by a conservative. They call themselves conservatives, and their name on their Facebook is, "I hate when I wake up in the morning and Obama is president." So these people, you know, this person was like, "Well, I'm not going to listen to your show, you know, hold your breath. You know, we don't need any more Muslims coming in here and telling us anything to do." And one lady was like, "You know, you're not going to come in here and force Sharia law on me, you know." And I was like, "Wow, you know, I'm not trying to enforce Sharia law on anyone, you know. I mean, you know, just like total, like, attack mode." You know, I was nice to all of them, and they just kept hearing out, you know, kind of like hate messages towards all Muslims, you know, telling me, you know, why did you come to this country? Go back to your country. I'm like, in my mind, I'm thinking, all right, I am from California, first of all, you know, so really you don't really know who you're talking to on the other line, but I'm just going to let you go on and speak, you know. You know, one lady's like, "Well, I'm not going to listen because I don't have to. I have a forum here to talk about," you know, and they talk about how much, you know, Obama's not doing this, Obama's not doing that, but they really, really, it seems like, are clueless about what it means to be a Muslim. You know, we're submitting to God in our attempts to be the best people on the planet, and this is our this is our way, just like any other believer who worships the one God. We're all trying to, you know, be right and trying to grab up as many blessings and brownie points, so to speak, you know, in hopes that we will enter paradise, you know. But it was really, you know, I mean, I had an elderly lady was like, hold your breath, lady, you know, I'm not going to do that one, you know. And I was like, you know, it's good to see elders in our society handling matters in a mature way, you know. I mean, total gray-haired, you know, Lucy.
Are you looking for a great education in Islamic studies? Then Islamic...
Okay. Well, is that... Brother Riyadh, Salaam alaikum. Yeah, this is some crazy stuff going on today at this point. I don't know why this is happening, but it's okay because we are going to do things another way today, inshallah. So I know that somebody is playing with this board and something's going on with the show, you know, and may Allah fix the issue, fix the problem so that we can get on to, you know, a really great show, inshallah. So give us a minute to fix this problem, inshallah, and we'll be right back. Assalamu alaikum. Why not helping? Assalamu alaikum. We ought to see your number. Is it possible you can click in that 818-669 number to talk a little bit about what's going on at the Revlon Walk, inshallah, if you can? Hello?
Are you looking for a great education in Islamic studies? Then Islamic Online University is the place to be. The Islamic Online University is the world's first tuition-free Bachelor's of Arts in Islamic Studies in English completely online. The Islamic Online University offers a series of free diploma classes along with intensive undergraduate and graduate courses guided by Dean and founder himself, Dr. Bilal Phillips. Take advantage of this unique opportunity right now to deeply understand the major areas of Islam, apply what you learn to your lives, and share this divine legacy with the world around you. Register right now at www.islamiconlineuniversity.com. Anyone, anytime, anywhere. Your free education awaits you today. Go to www.islamiconlineuniversity.com.
Wow, Michael G.
Hey, Mara.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I have the technical difficulties, as you can see. I have my sister Mara on the line, and she's at the Revlon Walk, right?
Yes, I am.
How is it? Is there a lot of people there?
Yes, it's a lot of people. Holly Berry's here.
Where is that?
Out in the Coliseum. It's at the Coliseum. Yeah, I took pictures. I have like a picture of like a lot of people here on Facebook. Like, Tara, there was also a picture on Facebook that you're going to be very shocked to see that I just now took, and you're probably going to call me immediately after we get off the line. It's going to be a blast from the past.
Oh, you're kidding me. No way.
You were going to do. I know you're going to smile, that's for sure.
Really?
You're
okay,
gonna,
well,
you're
so...
going to say, Put it this way, you're going to spell out, oh my God, you're going to spell out the letter O, the letter M, and the letter G. Put it that way.
Okay, so talk to us a little bit. Okay, what's the Revlon walk about?
For breast cancer. It's for breast cancer. And people are walking, a lot of them are walking in memory of people with breast cancer as well as people that still have breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay.
So it's something that is very important to a lot of people. And then also going to be there's going to be a breast walk for African American women as well.
Well, it's not today. When is that supposed to be?
I'm going to get the newsletter in regard to that. The lady didn't tell me exactly when, but she has my number. She's going to send me something about it in the mail. And then at that point, I will definitely let you know, and maybe we can do it together.
Well, that would be nice to be live and doing it well. Well, okay, I haven't seen the picture yet, and I don't know what, you didn't post it up yet, I guess, so I was trying to get to the picture.
It's probably loading. Wait, hold on, give me 1 second. I think it is not, there's an exclamation mark for some apparent reason or other, but I'm
okay,
sure that... Huh?
I said maybe it's something else. I don't know. It can't be my computer. Something's going on. I can't get into this system correctly. But I can get into my emails, everything else. But it's just when I come here, unfortunately, my system is not working well. But
I'm sure it is my phone because it has an exclamation mark, which is telling me it's not and it did not load.
Okay, maybe it's all kind of stuff going on today in the universe. It's kind of weird. But you know what? Are you going to be at the Revlon Walk all day today?
Yes.
Okay, well, why don't you give us a call in periodically to let us know what's going on. How many miles are you guys walking today, you and the family?
I believe it's going to be 3 or 5.
3 or 5. Well, everybody who wants to exercise and support a good cause, go down to the Revlon Walk, which is at the Coliseum in Los Angeles. And it's from what time to what time?
We don't know. Because the runners
okay.
went first. And now
oh,
it's time
first.
For the ones. Right. And now we are barely walking at a snail pace.
Snail
we're actually moving at a glacier pace.
Okay. call us back a little bit later. Thanks, sis, for giving us what's going on down there at the college. Never mind walking anyone. All right, talk to you later.
I'll do that. All right.
Bye-bye. All right. Bye. Well, that was my sister, Mara Revlon Walk at the Coliseum. And right now we're going to get into the show, Riyadh, if it's possible. We are going to talk to the author of The Language of Revelation. The book was highly endorsed.
Assalamualaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
You have an unknown caller. Do you want to take this unknown caller first or go to caller 313?
Okay, with the question? Sure, I'll take the unknown caller.
I don't know. I didn't pull up to the back room. I didn't know if it was one of your guests or not. Hold on.
All right.
Unknown caller. Sounds like unknown caller. I believe you. Well, no. They just dropped off. Okay. So, go ahead.
Okay. We're going to get into how to grasp the spirit of the Quran. With Imam Sadiq Jihad. He is the author of The Language of Revelation, and his book was endorsed by Imam W. Dean Muhammad. Please welcome to Out of the Box, and I thank you for your patience. Imam Sadiq Jihad, and that is number 313, Riyadh. Assalamualaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Thank you so much for being patient. I am having so many difficulties this morning, but mashallah, we'll be moving on. But thank you for your patience.
Sure. No problem.
Definite. Thank you. I think you want to tell us a little bit about the Language of Revelation, the book, and a little bit of what it's about before we get into how to grasp the spirit of the Quran?
Yes. First, I'd like to begin by thanking you, Tara, and I guess foremost, thanking Allah for putting us together on this Blog Talk Radio. And also, I'd like to thank Imam Thomas Abu Salam for having the foresight and the energy to have this program on the air. It's a very, very enriching program. And I thank Allah personally, and I'm sure others are very appreciative of what he has done. So I extend to you and to all of the listeners the greetings of Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu wa jannatuhu. That is, the peace of God be upon you, his mercy, his blessings, and I add, his paradise. Yes, in response to your question about the book, The Language of Revelation, in Arabic it's pronounced Lughatat Tanzil. The book came about as a result of me having some classes at the Wayne County Community College in the late 70s. And the professor that was teaching us, his name was Dr. Abdul Munim Shaker. He was from Egypt. And whenever I say Egypt, I say into my mind, and I say to others, that he was an African just like us, even though he was from Egypt, which is across the water, so to speak. But at any rate, the books that he was teaching us from, he was very displeased with those books. And when he would teach us from the book, he would tell us to write in pencil, "This is silly," or "This is junk," as though he wanted these items to be corrected in the book. And so he said he longed for the day when one of his students would write a book explaining the Arabic grammar and so on. So Allah blessed me to spend many, many, many hours writing this book. And the book is designed to give the reader the ability to understand the finer points of the Arabic grammar, and by so doing, having the ability to do tafsir, that is, explanation of the Quran, for themselves and also to spread it to others. So it begins by going over the alphabet and the letters and the sun letters and the moon letters and things of that sort, and then it gradually goes into explaining the 10 forms, or the basic 10 forms of the Arabic verb. So most of you may not know what I'm saying when I say the 10 forms of the Arabic verb, so I'd like to just give you a quick example. The word qatala means he killed. That's Q-T-N-L. Qatala. And that's considered what we call the first form or the base form of the verb. And when we go to the second form, it becomes qatala. And you hear the emphasis on the T there, two T's there. Qatala. And this means he didn't just kill the person or the being or the object, or I should say the being that had life, and then the life was taken, but he massacred the human being, or he massacred the animal, killed him with a force that was intense, or he stabbed him 100 times, but only one time was necessary. The second form would suggest intensely. Qatala. So then you have what we call the third form of this particular verb, by way of example. Qatala. You hear the lifting of the first letter. Qatala. This would suggest that there was a lot of time and there was some reciprocity going on. So they translate qatala as fighting. Like, yeah, you were trying to, you know, hurt this person, but this person was fighting back. So it means he fought as opposed to he killed. So these are the kind of things that we're talking about in terms of the forms of the verbs. And in order to understand or grasp some of the spirit of the Quran, understanding these forms of the verbs are very essential. Is there anything else you want me to say on that, or do you want to jump in at this point?
Yeah, no. If you would like to say anything else about it, that's fine. I just wanted to kind of get the reason behind your book and talk a little bit about it so that people
yes.
could understand why you wrote this book and how it can help them. So, mashallah.
Well, that's really beautiful. Yes, okay. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I was listening to what you said. You said we are trying to be the best people on the planet. And that struck me very warmly because I know that the whole object of us being on this planet is to do good and go to the paradise, as you mentioned during your talk. And so Allah tells us in the Quran, this is the book wherein there's absolutely no doubt, guidance sure to those who want to have reverence and regard for God. And so it's just a natural that if Muslims want to increase their taqwa, if they would want to get closer to the Quranic Arabic or the language that the Quran was revealed in order to increase the taqwa. So many times people have knowledge and they can recite the Quran beautifully, and many times people think that recitation of the Quran is scholarship. But we know that recitation of the Quran, reciting it, is nothing more than memory, ability to remember things. But Allah wants us to understand the Quran so that we can get the utility out of it, get the use out of it, and increase our taqwa. We have it in the Quran where God says, "Ku anfusakum, O you who believe, save yourselves and your families from a fire that is men and stones." And so when you hear me translate it as save, and you don't have the knowledge of the Arabic language, then you wouldn't know that the command save, which is cool, the sound that the pigeon makes, it comes from the root of taqwa. And so Allah is giving us the key right in the verse that in order for you, in order for me, to save ourselves and to save our families, we have to have taqwa. So basic things like that will help a person to understand the Quran better and respond to the Quran.
So how do we grasp the spirit of the Quran?
Okay, well, I can begin to go into that presentation right now, inshallah.
Inshallah.
And I've already went into it already in the sense that we're talking about taqwa. The first prerequisite was to grasp some of the spirit of the Quran. When I say some of it, I'm saying that because of the fact that the wisdom of the Quran is so deep that we will never be able to grasp it all, but we can increase our understanding of it. So taqwa is the prerequisite, having a reverence for God, having honor, having integrity, having the desire to cause this moral nature to rise up in a fine mist and get purified by the wisdom on high and then rain back down on our own spirits, our own nafs, and spread this honor and this integrity and this light to the whole of the world. God says in the Quran, "Kaja'akum min Allahi nurun wa kitabum mubin." No doubt has come to you all a light, a plain book. So clearly this book is not just for the Muslims, it's for all of the people if they would only open up their hearts and minds to receive it. So continuing, I always encourage people to learn the Arabic alphabet, learn the sounds, and learn the what we call the sun letters and moon letters, to have the ability to read Arabic script. And then after learning that, then it's a process of learning the Arabic grammar and the structure of the language. So in studying the Quran today as I speak, these are some of the tools that I would encourage people to have.
Okay.
As many translations of the Quran as you can secure without causing you to be in poverty. And I say you get as many translations as possible because Allah gives a little of the light to this person or that person, but everyone cannot harness all of the light. We can't secure all of the light in one mind or one person. Secondly, secure yourself a concordance of the Quran. And the concordance of the Quran that I have is compiled by Gustav Flügel. And surprisingly, Gustav Flügel was an Orientalist, and he was an enemy of Islam. But yet he did the painstaking task of taking the what we call the Arabic root verbs and compiling them in a book. And when I say compiling them, I'm giving you an example. Like if I say Rahimah, Rahimah means to have mercy, to have pity. It means as to he was redeemed and things of that sort. So if you were doing a study of Allah's attribute of Ar-Rahim, you would find it under that particular three-letter root in the concordance. And not only that, you'll find all of the words stemming from Rahimah. You'll find Ar-Rahim, which is the wombs of the woman. You'll find Ar-Rahman, which is translated by Imam Warfi Muhammad, and very aptly, I might add, as the merciful benefactor. So the key to understanding the Quran, and I'm sure most of you have heard, that the best tafsir or the best explanation of the Quran is the Quran itself. So if you wanted to really understand what Allah says Rahimah means, or what these words stemming from Rahimah means, it would behoove us to go into all of the ayahs of the Quran where these particular words are stemming from this word is used. So that's another important thing that you want to have. And you want to have, in my humble opinion, the Lane's Lexicon. Edward Lane was an Englishman who went about the Bedouin tribes of what is now known as Saudi Arabia and asked them questions. What does this word mean? What does that word mean? And they gave him their spiel, if you will, on what various words meant. It's very important for us to realize that it is very essential for us to understand what these words meant at the time that Allah revealed the Quran to the Prophet and before the Prophet. So when you read the Lane's Lexicon, you get many, many shades of meaning that will be much different from the modern standard dictionary, Hans Weir, which is a very popular one. Hans Weir, so green-covered book, usually, that goes over the different Arabic roots and so on, explaining what various words mean. And to give you an example of the value of Lane's Lexicon, you know, they say that the very first thing that the Prophet was told to do was to read. Iqra is the word. And so people, when they have educational banquets and things of that sort, they'll say, education is important because that was the very first thing that the Prophet was told to do was to read. So if you're a thinking person like I am, and you know that he received the revelation in the cave Hira, first thing you would say is, it was dark in that cave. He didn't have the Quran on sheepskin, so would Allah be telling him to read? I don't think so. So when you look at the Abdullah Yusuf Ali translation, he says, proclaim, and then in parentheses he puts the word read. And so he tells us in his methodology of translation that the words that I put outside of the parentheses is more close to a word-to-word rendering of the words that I am trying to translate from Arabic into English. So he puts proclaim, and then he says read. So if you see the command Iqra as being proclaimed, and you can see that that's more plausible to the mind and more sensible to think that Allah was commanding him to proclaim something to the world, to the people, because he saw that they were in bad shape. He saw that they were in a state of what we call jahiliyyah, ignorance, impulsive living. And the Prophet's response, as we know from the story, the angel Jibril reportedly squeezed him three times, and he said, I cannot proclaim. And then God told him, Iqra. Bismi Rabbika Ladhi Qala, proclaim in the name of your Lord who created you. So here Allah is telling him that I know what you have to proclaim. And then he says, Khalaqal Insana Min Allah. He created you from a clinging substance. So this particular series of ayahs, these first three at least, are referring to the childbirth process when it says that I created you from a clinging substance. The sperm and the ovum is being referred to there. So in the lexicon, Lane's Lexicon, it tells you and I that qara'a, it means read, it means to proclaim, it means to recite, but the real key meaning to understand in relationship to this Quranic revelation that came forth as the first three verses that came to the Prophet is that Tara'ad, which is the root, Toph, Ra, and Aleph, means to put something together, piece by piece and part by part. And you know as well as I know that when a woman is pregnant, the child is being put together piece by piece and part by part by Allah himself in the wombs of our mothers. And after 257 days, which is the usual gestation period, the woman makes a proclamation. I have a son, I have a boy, I have quadruplets, etc. So if you see these particular ayahs as being that the Prophet Muhammad was impregnated, if you will, with a proclamation that he didn't know that he was pregnant, but Allah gave him the understanding that you are pregnant with a message, and you have this in you, and I knew you before you were even conceived in the womb of your mother, and you will be given all that you need to proclaim to the world. But the third ayah says, Iqra again, Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram, and proclaim that your Lord is the most bountiful, most generous, using the root karuna, which means to be generous and noble and honorable. So just by knowing that Tara'ad suggests to put something together piece by piece and part by part, one can get a better clarity of what was going on in that cave on that night, in the night of Ramadan, or during the month of Ramadan, pardon me. So the Lang's Lexicon, I bought it some years ago, and it's in 8 volumes in that old newsprint, and it's quite cumbersome to fan through all of the pages in it. And here recently, I just found out that the whole Lane's Lexicon is on a website, and you can receive a copy by mail, or you could download it directly from the website. And this website is emanating out of the United Kingdom somewhere.
Oh, well, that's nice. We'll get that website right after we play this message, inshallah, if that's all right with you.
Sure, I don't have it at the moment, but I could, see if I could seek it at some point before you get off the air, and I could call you back with it. But
okay,
I do know that I guess the best way to do it would be to just put in the Google box Lane's Lexicon, and it'll pop up. I believe that's how I came to it after a brother told me about its existence.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Alhamdulillah. Well, for those of you who are just tuning in, this is Out of the Box, and we're on the air with Imam Sadiq Jahad, the author of The Language of Revelation. And please call us 646-716-4478 if you have any questions. Also, you can, if you have a profile, American Muslim 360, you can chat with us as well. And if you don't, create a profile and chat with us. We'll be right back after these messages. You listen to Out of the Box on Muslim Heat Radio.
Assalamu alaikum, this is DJ Anis Tanner from Remarkable Current. I'm listening to Out of the Box on Muslim Heat Radio. Peace.
Perfect for schools, conferences, and fundraising events. Visit livinghistoryheritage.com. Omar Ibn Said and Ibrahim Abdul Rahman come to you live and perform their true stories. One a scholar, the other a prince, graduates of the great University of Timbuktu. African Muslims captured, sold into slavery, and eventual freedom in the United States. Enjoy and appreciate true unique stories of Timbuktu's African-American Muslim heroes. Visit livinghistoryheritage.com or call 704-777-3611 today. That's livinghistoryheritage.com or 704-777-3611. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Zaki Furkan with Three's Company. We're excited to introduce to the community and the world our pioneer product, Blissful Tissue Paper. Visit us on our website at www.blissfultissuepaper.com or call at 904-422-9224. We have a sales training taking place on April the 23rd. Visit our booth at the National Muslim Business Conference in Charlotte, North Carolina. See you there. Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, hey, assalamu alaikum, sis. How are you? Wa alaikum salam. Alhamdulillah, I'm good.
Good, and how's your husband?
Alhamdulillah, he's doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good, sis. I'm just working two jobs right now trying to save up some money so I can go study at one of these Islamic universities.
Mashallah. Well, it's interesting you say that. My husband and I just started the Islamic Online University.
What's that about?
Well, the Islamic Online University was developed by Dr. Bilal Phillips. It's completely online. It's intensive. He offers undergraduate and graduate courses of Islamic studies, and it's completely tuition-free.
Whoa, you said tuition-free?
Tuition-free.
In 2007, Islamic Online University began offering diploma courses. In 2010, the Islamic Online University launched the world's first tuition-free online Bachelor of Arts in Islamic Studies. This path-breaking initiative utilizes the worldwide presence of the Internet and advanced open-source online learning technology to bring low-cost, university-level Islamic education within reach of anyone on the planet who has access to a computer. Please do not waste this opportunity. Go to www.islamiconlineuniversity.com, or you may also contact the registrar's office at 974-448-6858. 974-448-6858.
Girl, I ain't no Muslim to do all that.
You are now tuned in to Muslim League Radio on American Muslim 360.
Thank you for tuning in. You are on live with Out of the Box on Muslim Heat Radio, sponsored by American Muslim 360. We had to take a break. On air, we have Imam Sadiq Jihad talking with us about how to grab the spirit of the Quran. Thank you for being patient with us today, Imam Sadiq, and we really appreciate you coming on and sharing your knowledge with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Definitely. Thank you. And he will have a website, inshallah, to give us to learn more about how to grab the essence. And you were talking a little bit about that website before we left.
Yes. I just went to the Internet during the commercial, alhamdulillah, and the site to secure the Lanes Lexicon is www.laneslexicon.co.uk. I repeat, www.laneslexicon.co.uk. And I'd like to caution the listeners of the fact that the CD that was sent out to me, it didn't play initially, and so I contacted the site, and they told me that it only plays on newer computers, but they didn't tell me, you know, how new the computer has to be. But as Allah would have it, it didn't work on one of my computers, but it worked on the other, and I'm thankful to Allah that I do have it. And believe me, the key to you and I understanding the Quran is to be able to understand, the Arabic roots and the forms of the verb. And then continuing on, another thing that I think is a very, very helpful tool is for you to secure the book. I'm not getting any money from this particular person for, you know, giving you this reference. The Coherence of the Quran by Mustad Samir. That's MUNSTANASIR, Mustad Samir, and then his last name is Mir, MIR. So if you just put in the MIR, then his information will probably come up. But this book is very common at many of the bookstores. It's called The Coherence of the Quran. So what is the point of me mentioning this book? We as Muslims, sometimes we'll read the Quran and we don't believe or realize that although a lot of different things are being spoke about or related or revealed in various chapters, and we sometimes think that they're not related to each other or the chapter is not coherent in its totality. And so after reading this book, I begin to look at the surahs in some sense of coherency that was much more clear to me. And I'd like to give you an example of it. This Suratul Adiyah, Surah 100 of the Quran. So beautifully, if you don't mind me reciting. I'm reciting this to affect our spirit and also to, you know, rev me up and also bring home the point that I'm conveying here today. And I think that prior to reading this book, Coherence of the Quran, I didn't quite understand this particular surah. And it says, وَالْعَادِيَاتِ دَبْحَا. Abdullah Yusuf Ali translates it as, and by the steeds, that run with the panting breath. Steeds are horses, and then some of the commentators say that steeds could be also swift camels. And so this particular surah is starting out giving you the picture of horses that run with the panting breath. And we know today, I believe, they're having the Kentucky Derby. And the horses, if you around horses or if you see them on TV, you'll see that they are huffing real hard trying to get as much oxygen in their bodies as they can. And the reason why they're trying to get this oxygen in their body is so that they can run faster and run longer. And I heard Imam Wafi Muhammad say some years ago, many years ago, he says, a horse will run himself to death if you continue to prod him on. And so I said, that's really something. And so then he went on to say to us that you can see how they have it hooked up in the manufacturing of engines. They give you an engine and they say, this engine is 25 horsepower, meaning that if you run that engine faster than that particular horsepower limit, then it will kill off and die. So then the next item says, Talmuriyati Kadaha, and they strike sparks of fire. And according to what I read on this, this is referring to the cavalry in a night scene going to do battle with a foe. And so when the horse runs, we know that the hoofs, they click and they connect with each other and sparks come out, especially in the night. You would see them fight clearly. And then it goes on to say, Shamugirati Subha, and they push home the charge in the morning. So it started out at night, and in the morning they still run it. And then it says, Fa'afarunabihi Naka'a, and they raise the dust in the clouds the while. This is very poetic by Abdullah Yusuf Ali, the translator. So in essence, this particular ayah is saying that in the daytime, you know, you don't see the sparks, but you know they're coming because if you're in the distance, you can see the dust coming all up in the air, you see. And then it says in the next ayah, see the coherency that I'm trying to set forth here, فَوَسَطْنَا بِهِ جَمْعًا, and they penetrate forthwith into the midst of the flow, pardon me, of the foe, en masse, jam'an, which is all together. That's the same root as jumu'ah, congregation. And so they're talking about the horse having the panting breath, the sparks, the continuous, unrelenting drive toward the foe, and then the dust that comes up in the daytime. And then when they get into the battlefield, they're fearless. Here's the writer on the horse. He may be a good person or he may be a bad person, but the horse does the bidding of the rider. And now here's the change in the channel, speaking at it from a musical point of view, a channel change. And it says, Innal insana li rabbihi lakanud. Truly the humanity or the human being is ungrateful to his Lord. Here, Abdullah Yusuf Ali just says to his Lord ungrateful. But if you understand the Arabic grammar, the la, he has an L-A in front of kanud, which is suggesting to our mind, no, you are extremely ungrateful. Again, innal insana li rabbihi lakanud. All right? So how do you tie in this switch from talking about horses to the human being? Clearly, Allah is saying to us that, see how I've given you this horse who is obedient, and he will give his life for you, you're ungrateful, because that same obedience and that same commitment that horse has to you, you should have that to me, the Lord of all the worlds, your creator. And then Allah goes on in this surah. I'll be closing on this particular point in a few moments. وَإِنَّهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ لَشَهِيدٌ, and he bears witness to this fact by what he does. This is a lot of stuff. You bear witness, human beings, about what you do, that you are ungrateful. And then the next ayah says, وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ. And strong are you in your love of good and wanting the khair, wanting good things to happen to you. And that reminds me of the hadith where it says that a man came to the prophet and he was saying, Allah is not blessing me. What can I do to receive the blessings and the favor of God? And the hadith report has it that his speech was haram, his clothes was haram, everything about him was haram, and he was asking for the blessings of God. So Allah is saying that here in the midst of this state of ungratefulness of human beings, you bear witness that what you do, that you are not grateful, but yet you got a strong desire for the love of the good that you can receive from Allah. And then the next ayah says, أَفَلَا يَعْلَمُ إِذَا بُعْثِرَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ. Does he not know, that is the human being, that that which is in the graves is scattered abroad, is made manifest? وَحُسِلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. That which is locked in the human vessel is made clear and plain. Then it says in closing the surah, إِنَّ رَبَّهُمْ بِهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَخَبِيرٌ. That their Lord had been well acquainted with them, even to that day. So when I see the horse, it reminds me of being more grateful. So Allah gives us these pictures to increase what? Our taqwa, to give us a better opportunity, as you mentioned earlier, to reach the Jannah when we leave this plane of existence. So you see the coherency there? A person reads it and they see horses and they say, well, what do these horses have to do with human beings? But there's a tie-in in every surah, and the key is to try to figure out why these particular connections are, or why these particular words are being uttered in a particular chapter. Another example is many times in the Quran, Allah says, Allahu Ghafur Rahim, where he puts his name Allah there, and then he'll add the attributes following. And so if you see that he says, and Allah is the one who pardons again and again, and he's merciful, then many times you'll see some ayahs prior to that that is relating to the need for you and I to receive forgiveness. And then he'll say, Allah is the best, nor Allahu al-Azizul Hakim, and things like this. So I'm just suggesting to the mind that there is a coherency and there is a flow to the Quran, and also there are hints that Allah will give in various chapters of the Quran to challenge your mind to come up with what he's saying through your taqwa, through your piety, and through your quest and your drive to understand what he's saying. And I'll give you another example here now. The next surah, as it happens to appear here in the Quran, is called Al-Qari'ah. Al-Qari'ah. And I recognize that a lot of what I might be saying about the Arabic may not be palatable to all the people who may not understand the Arabic, but I think I'll make it plain enough where you could consult with those who might know, and also perhaps you'll be able to pick it up without having the knowledge of the Arabic. But at any rate, it says Al-Qari'ah, and it's translated as the day of noise and clamor. And then Allah asks you and I the question, Melkariya, what is the day of noise and clamor? And then he says, Wa mazraka Melkariya, and what will explain to you all what the day of noise and clamor is? So I tell people all of the time, we know that Allah is perfect in explaining things, and he never fails when he does a thing. The Quran said he's a professional doer of all that he intends. So you and I have to immediately make the assumption that what this day of noise and clamor is being explained in the surah or somewhere in the Quran. The next ayah goes into explaining it. It says, يَوْمَ يَكُونُ النَّاسُ كَالْفَرَاشِ الْمَبْثُوثِ. It is a day wherein the human beings will be like moths scattered about. So we're talking about a scene of moths scurrying here and there in the atmosphere, like say in a windstorm situation, bumping into each other, a lot of confusion and disorder. So he's saying that the day of noise and clamor, this day of judgment, will be like that. A lot of diversity, a lot of clashing, the Shiites against the Sunnis, the Christians against the Muslims, the diverse mentalities, Episcopalian, Jehovah's Witnesses, communism, all kinds of diversity. The human being will be like that in the Day of Judgment. Then Allah says, وَتَكُونُ الْجِبَالُكَ إِحْنَ الْمَنْفُوسِ. And he says, and the mountains will be like carded wool. Now listen to that again. The mountains will be like carded wool. We're talking about a hard rock-like substance being changed into carded wool, which is soft, and then carded would suggest ordered and straightened out. So I looked at this particular ayah. I said, this has to be some symbolic, metaphorical language. And so I began to go to the Lane's Lexicon and other dictionaries. And so beautifully, Allah blessed me to see that in the Arabic language. Pardon me? I'm still here on the air? Hello? Am I still on the air? Well, let me continue, hoping that I am. And if I'm not, please let me know. In the Lane's Lexicon,
all right. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Okay.
Oh, so I'm still here. Can I continue?
Oh, okay. There you go. Okay. Yes. We have about possibly another 11 minutes.
Okay, all right, so let me conclude this real quick here.
All right. Inshallah.
So it says, and the mountains will be like carded wool. So I went to the Lane's Lexicon, and I found that the word Jebel, which is mountain, they use it in the language, in idiomatic sense. They say, Huwa Jebel, he is a mountain. Like he's a hard-headed person. If I say he's a mountain, I'm saying he's a hard-headed person. And in English we say he's a rockhead or he's hard as a stone, which is suggesting some stubbornness or some sense of not being able to change that particular thing. And so also the mountain is something that has, you know, as we know, longevity. So the mountain in the physical world is pretty much the largest thing that we see with our own eyes right here on the earth. And so there's a counterpart to this in the spiritual world. And the thing that has the most longevity in the spiritual world, we know, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, firstly, and the nafs, that is the soul of the human being, has longevity. But Allah says that we will dwell in the paradise, khalidina fiha, forever. So, in tying the idea of nafs as a metaphor with this jebel, we're now translating this ayah as, and the souls will be like carded wool. The souls of the human being will be like carded wool. So, again, carded wool would suggest how you take wool that is disordered and in confusion, so to speak, from the sheep, and you use combs. They used to use large combs before the machine, you know, age, But now they have combing machines. They take that fuzzy, mangled wool and brings it into order. So we have the fine skirts and hats and coats and so on. By taking this mangled, confused wool, if you will, and ordering it out. So here, clearly, Allah is saying, and the souls of the human beings will be like carded wool, meaning carded off. If I tell you I want to card my file, my alphabetical order for my clients that I have, then I put the A's here, the B's here, so I can get back to them. So here Allah is saying that when the day of judgment comes, the souls of the human beings will be carted off, like everything that Sadiq did in his life, everything that Tyler did in her life, each individual life will be like one ordered strand where Allah will see, well, this is her record and this is his record. But we know Allah already knows our records even before we are born. At any rate, if you see this, the change in the tenor, if you will, still talking about the concordance of the Quran, here's what Allah says next. That he whose balance of good deeds will be found heavy, will be in a state of pleasure. So here you can see clearly that Allah is telling you and I that after these souls become carted off and separated, that's when the judgment comes. So you and I as human beings must realize that every tub sits on its own bottom. And what I do will be what I'll be judged on, and what you do will be what you or I, or anybody, pardon me, will be judged on. And so I mentioned to you that there's a hints that Allah gives sometimes in some of the words that I use. So nafasa is the word for nafs, N-A-F-S, we spell it. But the root of wool is nafasha, just one letter change. And so clearly the connection, the hint that Allah is giving you is that this mountain is nafasa and the wool is nafasha, letting you know that the mountain that he's talking about is talking about the soul of the human being. So how can we get soul from relating it to the mountain? As I mentioned earlier, the mountain has longevity. The mountain has stability. I always like to tell people this and trying to come to the close here. That you and I could be blown up in a plane and blown into smithereens, but on the day of judgment, that soul, which is a non-physical entity, will be there to be judged by Allah. So these are the kind of things that I encourage people to want to understand. So you had mentioned earlier about the book that I wrote called The Language of Revelation, and I had intended to get this particular endorsement to you so you could read it, but I would hope that the audience would indulge me to read what Imam Waqi Muhammad said about the book. And it's for two reasons. Number one, because I want for my brothers and sisters what I want for myself, and I know that my life drastically changed when I learned the Quranic Arabic, because I could see the Quran better, and it helped my taqwa, it helped me in every way, it helps my spirit. In fact, when I wrote the book, my wife would tell you that there were times that I would spend two nights in a row with no sleep working on the book. I had so much energy and drive to do this, and it came from my commitment to understand and the excitement that I was receiving as I did the book. So praise be to Allah. Here's what Imam Muhammad said about the book. He said, I want to bring to our attention an achievement. The publication has been produced mainly for our community, but it is for anybody who wants some help from the material that has been put into this publication. The book is called The Language of Revelation. And the other reason why I'm doing this is because I do like to get paid so I can be charitable and give other things to other people. I sell CDs, I give away CDs, and I also give away this book on various occasions. All right. It is by a brother that I have known to be dedicated and devoted to the study of Quranic Arabic and the teaching of that subject to our students and to grown-ups as well. And that is Brother Sadiq Jihad. I think most of you know him. Brother Sadiq Jihad, would you please stand and face the audience? I would highly recommend this book for you all who are studying, but also for our youngsters who are studying separate organized Quranic studies classes, who are also studying in our school system. Clara Muhammad school system like the one in Atlanta, Washington, D.C., Chicago, and many other places. I highly recommend this book, The Language of Revelation, Quranic Arabic with lessons and studies to improve your ability to read the Quran and get more understanding and to qualify yourself, inshallah, to be a teacher one day. Because out of you, from you who are interested in Quranic Arabic, we're going to get our next generation of teachers, imams, and leaders. So Allah be with you all and bless you to benefit from these wonderful projects and publications that our community is producing. This is one. We have others that I've seen. And I'm grateful to Allah for students and scholars like our brother Sadiq Jihad. Congratulations, my brother. I don't consider myself a scholar. I do consider myself a person who will be a student of the Quran forever, and I know that to whom much is given, much is required. And I heard a brother named Abdul Hakim Jackson say one time that the measure of a scholar is how many scholars that this scholar can produce. And so I haven't, to my knowledge, been able to inject enough of this book into the community whereby a person have been able to go farther than I have from this book. But the key to this whole thing that I'm doing here is I want someone to, or all of the people, as many as possible, to be able to get this knowledge and take it farther and to become fluent and to become a person who can actually translate the Quran or a group of people that can translate the Quran. So that's the next step to this endeavor here, to create enough knowledge in the atmosphere where we as an African-American community can translate this Quran. So I conclude with that, and I thank you very much for your indulgence. If there's any questions or...
Thank you very much for joining us. And inshallah, we'll have you back here on Out of the Box in the future. Thank you so much for your time. May Allah increase you for your knowledge and the time you spent on this program today. If anyone has any questions, please call us back at 646-716-4478. Let's go to a commercial break. You're listening to Out of the Box on Muslim Heat Radio.
Peace, y'all. What's going on? This is Tyson Amir, your friendly neighborhood brother T-Bob, and I'm here for Out of the Box with the good sisters Tara, Imani, Amira, Ali, throughout an angel. Just reminding you, if you're trying to get your mind, body, and soul free, then you gotta get out of the box, out of the box, yeah. Don't cut that down, keep it locked to out of the box, out of the box. Peace.
Hey, it's gonna be some of y'all don't like this song. We tired of these casters just saying the man shit all day long, and they don't never do no work.
Assalamu alaikum.
Bye.
wind runs by the trees, and hardship is conquered by ease in the concept of peace. Sun rays racing to the faces of the most kind. Here's a little dose of love just to make the soul shine.
Love is strong.
Yeah, yeah. Love the conqueror, love the doctor, nothing is impossible. A little love, that's enough to bring the spring season, keep the seeds even, keep the trees breathing, keep the bees singing. Love is the reason, the sun is beaming, the wind is breathing, that life is breathing. Love
oh, okay,
is
I'm sorry.
God.
Wow. Hi, I'm Henry Hasib of H&H Fast Tax. Come see why our customers return to us year after year. Have you ever received a letter from the IRS or just needed tax advice, only to find that the company that served you was closed? We are open all year, and with over 20 years of experience, we work hard to get you the highest refund. With tax laws constantly changing, we'll be there for you.
Two convenient locations, St. Stephen's Road and Dapalawa Parkway.
This is Riyad Abdul Qayyum, and you know every Saturday I'm tuned in to Out the Box. Hey, these sisters go hard. Muslim Heat Radio, sponsored by American Muslim 360. Out the box, yeah. Out the box, shooting, yeah, yeah, yeah. Out the box, yeah. We out the box, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Welcome back to Out of the Box on Muslim Heat Radio, sponsored by American Muslim 360. I want to thank Imam Sadiq Jihad for being on the show. Imam Sadiq, I hope that we can see you again on Out of the Box or hear from you again in the future to share with us more about your book and more of how to grab some of the essence of the Quran, inshallah.
Well, sincerely, thank you, sister, for the invitation. And may Allah continue to bless you and the program, and I would love to return to the program. So please apprise me of whenever I could return. So could
inshallah.
I close out with a short dua that I'd love to say?
Okay.
That is, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Ar-Rajim. We seek refuge from Allah, with Allah from the rejected Satan. Rabbana atmulamnana nurana waqfir lana innaka ala kulli shay'in qadir. Again, Rabbana atmim lana nurana waqfir lana innaka ala kulli shay'in qadir. Our Lord, complete our life for us. Forgive us, for surely you have power over all things at all times. Thank you very much, sister. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Hi, I'm Tara Walker, your host for Out of the Box, the one show keeping it 100 all the time, where everyone connects from the four corners of the world. Live news,
live people,
drama behind the scenes,
marriage,
health,
love,
cheating,
and lust.
Sponsored by American Muslim 360.
Exclusively on Muslim Heat Radio.
Salaam alaikum. Like, I have no control over today's event, but, you know, I'm happy to
That's what you get for calling me on my day off to help you out. So we got Sister Amira's on the line too. So I'm like, Sister Amira.
Walaikum assalam.
How you doing today, sister? No school?
Yeah, still got school at home.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Okay, sister. Okay, that's nice. That's nice. Well, thank you for coming today.
So, Tara, let's kind of, I guess since we kind of freestyled that, for those listeners out there, we definitely appreciate you staying tuned in. If you want to get involved in the conversation, dial 646-716-4478. Tara's switchboard is, Tara runs her show, and everything is set up, and it's perfect for whatever reason. She can't log in. The switchboard is keeping her from getting in, so I'm kind of messing up the show today. And so we're just going to kind of freestyle it for a second. But, Tara, we were having a conversation the other day.
Uh-oh.
And it was a very interesting conversation when I went to my daughter's school. It's a couple of blocks from my house. So, you know, it's real lazy of us to drive her to school. So we started walking her back and forth. But on the way back from me picking my daughter up from school, we had a conversation. Do you recall that conversation?
We were talking about different scholars or teachers in other lands, and them
right.
coming here to you know, talk to people within those areas, and how they would or would not listen. And it was kind of interesting because, you know, I hear a lot of this all the time, where people are like, you know, scholars out there, you know, in Saudi or overseas in any place, they can't come to the hood and actually, like the way I said hood, huh? They can't come to these places and speak, and no one will really listen to them. And I thought, you know, well, I don't believe that. I'm like, you know, somebody would have to listen. And so, Brother Riyadh, I was going to call you Jihad. Brother Riyadh grabbed a 10-year-old boy, and he asked the same question. Well, and I think
actually it was several. It was about six or seven kids that were there, and all of them answered in unison. It was just the one 10-year-old boy was the loudest.
Yeah. And what question did you ask them?
I asked them, and these were. To my knowledge, these were non-Muslim children. I don't know, but I'm assuming that they were non-Muslim children. And the question that I asked them, because my whole, reason for living is to get American Muslims to assert themselves with Islam as opposed to being something else, something other than American. And I get so frustrated when foreigners basically teach us to hate ourselves. And the thing that we can't get away from is that Allah made us Muslim in this country. And every other culture can have pride and love for who they are except us. And so you have foreign Muslims that come over here and all they do is talk about America and how bad it is and all that, which in turn teaches us to hate ourselves, to hate our culture, to hate how we come up and those type of things. So, with that being said, I'm saying, you know, it's one thing to be a scholar and have that knowledge and those type of things, but what Americans need are people that are committed for the long haul, practical application people that are here, that know the struggle, that understand the struggle, and this is the way of the Sahaba. And I'm kind of giving this little synopsis prior to me asking my question or the question that I had asked. And so what America needs, not just the Muslims, because when a lot of times when the scholars talk, they're talking from Muslim to Muslim as opposed to dawah efforts, as opposed to how we fix our families, our teenage sisters and brothers and, you know, I mean, sisters and nieces that are having babies and having sex and getting venereal diseases and the young men that are turning into male prostitutes on the streets and the crackheads and the people that are just turned away from God altogether. You know, there's more and more young people that just say they don't believe in God. And so these are the everyday, day-to-day struggles that I encounter. And so since I'm in the hood, I speak specifically about the hood, but the same things are going on in the foothills of West Virginia, in the small town in Oklahoma, in the northwest and outside of Seattle, you know, just all these places. And so you have these scholars that are making decisions from 3, 4, 5,000 miles away about what's going on here, and not that they're not committed to the long term sustenance and maintenance of the Dawa effort here, or trying to help people, or trying to get them on the streets, feed them, clothe them, all those type of things. So this is the conversation that Tara and I was having. I know that's a long explanation. So Tara's contention was people will listen to him. If you have something good to say, people will listen. And I said, okay, well, people are tired of speeches. People want to see action. People want to know that you know they struggle. So Tara, so I said, hold on, Tara, let me show you. So I asked these kids, I said, listen, if someone came from Africa to talk to you about how it is, about how to do the right things. Now, this is what I said about how to do the right things in your neighborhood, would you listen to them? And so Tara, in unison, all six
they
or seven
all
of them
said no.
And then I asked the question, I said, why? And they all said, why did they say that?
Because they don't live here. You know, they don't, you know, in a nutshell, that they don't live here, basically. I guess they don't know what they're going through over there. Just the same as Riyadh was saying, you know, the struggles that they go through, they have no idea. But most of them said because they don't live here. You know, they don't know what we're going through, pretty much. And it was kind of shocking, you know, to hear that from, you know, 10-year-old and 8-year-old. I mean, and these were all young boys. So it really goes to show, you know, what they're thinking. I mean, they're thinking just like the adults, you know, and it's kind of, it's scary because it's almost like, you know, we need to have a, you know, some kind of a unity between the, you know, the people who live in these areas and the scholars, or, you know, people who come from overseas, or even people who come here, like he says, you know, I don't believe in my own, like, I've never met somebody from, like, the land of, you know, like, from, I've known Nigerians, Somalians, you know, people that come from Saudi Arabia, Lebanon, you know, and I think that it all depends upon what the person thinks of themselves. And I understand what you're saying when you said that they teach us to kind of hate ourselves. But and I understand why you say that. You know, sometimes some of the tones in people, when people talk, you know, someone was talking to me about pitch and how to perfect your pitch when we're talking to people. And sometimes it seems like, you know, certain cultures come at us with a pitch of you just lazy. You know, you are not doing what, you know, you should be doing. Look at me. I'm doing what I do. I came here. I'm going to school. Why can't you? You know, and it might not, they might not have the intention of making you feel bad about yourself, but I completely understand what he means. And so with that being said, it's like a cultural barrier, a language barrier, a tone barrier. And I do believe that if people do come from overseas and teach to these different areas, that there should be leaders in those areas to take them or walk with them through the neighborhoods and welcome them, and everybody else will too. And that was another part of the conversation we were talking about.
Well, let's get the sister involved in the conversation also. So I think you have a pretty well-rounded idea of what the conversation was. So what are your thoughts, sis?
Speaking to me, Amira?
Amira?
Yes.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, how can you really speak and judge if you don't truly know the whole history and circumstances of things?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, it does be kind of strange how black people, or just say us over here, we're judged, but things are not, like, just saying, like, they don't know the facts. How can you judge and you don't know the facts? You know what I mean? And then
right,
if they do see it's a struggle over here, I mean, as Muslims or as people, period, why Allah said be merciful to all. Why not help? Why not support? Since it's like, okay, they got it all over there. You know what I mean?
Well, and you know, here's the problem with Muslims today. Muslims today, they don't want to talk about the truth.
No.
What they want to do is they want to romanticize Islam as opposed to dealing with what Islam really deals with, those everyday issues that are very apparent. It's very apparent that Islam is, or not Islam, but the Muslims practicing Islam, they are very racist. This
right.
is something that's very apparent, that they're very racist, that they're very sexist, And so because of this, certain elements within Islam and without Islam use these key issues to keep us from coming together. So some sheikh with some agenda from the Saudi government or the Pakistani government or the Iranian government will have us over here arguing about whether or not sisters can perform publicly, which is a minor issue, when we should be solving how do we stop our young black men from disbelieving in God, which is the sin that you would definitely go to hell for.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? How do we stop our mothers from buying crack and becoming crackheads and prostituting themselves on the street? These are major issues that happen every single day that we're trying to overcome over here. But we're getting caught up on the, well, sister, take that fingernail polish off. You're Muslim now, take that fingernail polish off. You know, I mean, these are issues that definitely need to be addressed.
Right.
But the way in which the people are coming from overseas, see, they've had Islam in their countries for 800, 900, 1,000 years, 1,100, 1,200, 1,300, 1,400, over 1,400 years, some people. Some people have never had a non-Muslim family member since the time of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so they have an idea of Islam or understanding or a culture. Their whole life is centered around Islam. Whereas us, we have three generations of Islam in this country. That's it. We have three generations. Me and my sister are the first generation Muslims in my family. Most of my family are heroin addicts, crackheads, been in and out of prison, drunks, you know, the whole nine. You go through the whole gambit, okay? This is who my family is.
Mine too.
You know, and we, exactly, and we don't break ties, but you're coming at me or you're trying to deal with me as if I've lived in a society around where Muslims are to my left, to my right, to my north, to my south, everywhere. And it says masjids established everywhere, and people have lived this culture for 800, 900 years, like some of these African countries, or, you know, in Turkey and some of these places like this, or 1,400 years from Saudi. You know, and if you look at the example of the Sahaba would go when they went into Africa and started spreading, you know, giving da'wah through Africa. If you look at the history, they didn't set up in the cities because they didn't want to infect or change the culture, or they didn't want to take over people. They stayed on the outskirts. They did business, and they lived on the outskirts. They taught Islam, and the people that took Islam were placed in the leadership role because they understood how to fix the people, how to cure the people, what the problems are, what the cultural idioms are. They understood it, not from a study or educational standpoint, like, oh yeah, I read about it, but from a standpoint of I live it, so it's internal with me. And that's what the issue is with us over here. And so we have a very schizophrenic America. We have, I mean, Americans hate being, American Muslims hate who they are.
And, I can agree with, you know, I mean, you know, people hate who they are. I mean, and that's like not just with Muslims, but that's with Christians and people who practice Judaism, Mormons, green, yellow, Chinese, you know, Korean. We do, you know, a lot of people do hate themselves. But the one thing for sure is that when people do come over here and they see us hating each other, that's a whole other, you know, situation, you know.
But if you have the cure, listen, if you have the cure for our ill, why would you throw flames on the fire? If you have Islam and you have the cure, why would you throw flames on the fire? Why wouldn't you teach us to purify ourselves? Why do you come over here and the ones that do become Muslim, the ones like myself that we do take our Shahada and Allah does lead us to Islam, why would you start giving us thick issues about whether or not, you know, in our first, you know, we take our Shahada and now you arguing with us about our entire lifestyle before you follow the example of the Sahaba, which they had 13 years before they got one rule. Now, once you become Muslim, you're responsible. But at the same time, you can't take it all in at once. So if you start nitpicking me over small jurisprudence issues before I have Tawheed, the unity, the belief in love and affection of Allah in my heart, that's where you start to have major issues. And you only exacerbate whatever we were taught to accept in this society. So we were taught to have self-hate and self-loathing ourselves. So what do? You come over here and you talk about how bad America is. And you talk about all the problems in America. And then you start to tell us, brother, put your pants up above your ankles. You know, just stuff like this. And it's like, wait a minute, I was just with my girlfriend last night. I took Shahada this morning. We got a baby together. I got to figure this situation out with my girlfriend now. You know, these are major issues, and so we're staying separated based on the frivolousness of things. And so the Sahaba had, before Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them tawhid. That's all he taught in Mecca, tawhid. Everything, believe in Allah, love Allah, worship Allah, submit to Allah. That's what he taught in Mecca. When they went to Medina, it was different. They were purified. They went through the fire. They went through the struggles. You know, we have family members. I have family members that haven't spoken to me since I took my Shahada. Mm-hmm. Family members that raised me, that loved me. Family members that took care of me, that would lay down their life for me. And you have people that have never experienced that. Because Islam has been in their family and in their communities and in their country for years and years and years and years. So to have no understanding of our struggle is a very arrogant stance to take, and it's causing problems. And so this is what Muslims should be talking about. I'm tired of sheikhs and scholars talking about issues in America that really that we shouldn't even necessarily be addressing now, whether or not a sister can put music, you know, she can perform in public, whether it be spoken word or sing. That's what a sheikh and scholar overseas wants us to debate about. But she was just now a Muslim 2 months ago, 3 months ago. You know, her husband isn't Muslim. He hasn't taken Shahada yet, and she has kids with this man, so now what is she going to do? Who's going to help support her if she leaves her husband? Is she going to go back to her husband and forsake Islam? Is she, you know, I mean, these are issues that we're dealing with every day over here. So that's part of it.
I think that, you know, a lot of times, like, you know, well, I see it in our own communities or amongst our own, you know, wherever we frequent. You know, when people do come here and they see us fighting with each other, you know, I mean, it's almost like saying, okay, well, you know, are they really upon the hop? Do they really understand? You know, I mean, we ourselves here in America amongst Muslim communities have issues with one another that we can't seem to get over, you know, at times. I mean, and, you know, a foreigner seeing this and they don't come from that, you know, I mean, I know a sister all the time that says, you know, I don't, you know, where I come from, it's not like this. You know, it's different.
Okay.
You know, we all help each other.
We
all this, we all that, you know, and I understand where you're coming from. But if they if we can't simply get along by giving salams to one another, like I give salams to someone and they don't give salams back because they're mad at me, or I'm mad at you about something that happened 8 months ago, or, you know, this sheikh over here is upset with this sheikh over here, and so both communities are upset. I mean, when people see this, including people within the community, some people just kind of give up. I don't think that, you know, the little issues, I understand where you're coming from, but it's still a bodica for them to say something and not for us to take it, you know, take the advice in an insultive way. I mean, we got to open up and we got to stop being offended. We have to stop being offended. Being offended stops our blessings, for real.
It's not about being offended. It's about what do we need. And first of all, the issues we have over here are going on all over the world. If you want to name a Muslim country, and I can tell you the atrocities that Muslims have committed against each other that are far worse than us arguing back and forth or bickering between communities. If you want to talk about Saud and the spread of Wahhabism and a lot of the sheikhs and scholars and learned people over there being killed and in prison until they were dead because the Wahhabis in the South wanted to put forth a political agenda. Or if you want to talk about why Egypt just did what they did, because all the sheikhs and scholars that were talking about why we such a loose society were in prison or killed. Or if you want to talk about in Saud how they let the sisters burn to death because the firemen didn't want to go see women that were uncovered or touch women that they weren't married to because they're having a debate about whether or not they'll break their wudu or be, you know. So my whole point is it goes on everywhere. It goes on, and it's worse in countries that have had Islam forever, that have had Islam since its inception. It's worse. Why do you come here and denigrate us? If you have the haq and you all are up on the haq and your society is such that everyone helps each other, then why do you come here and not help us? Why do you denigrate us and make us feel worse about ourselves? And we've only had Islam for two, three generations, maybe 60 years. You know, I saw that the first mosque was built. I was watching something on YouTube, how true it was. I don't know that the first mosque was built in the United States in 1923. Somewhere up north. It was a group of Albanians. But, I mean, like, I'm a first-generation Muslim. And I don't know anyone that's more than a third-generation Muslim in America. And most of them came out of the nation. So my point is, why would you, if you have all this knowledge, and you're, first of all, I'm just going to say out here what I told you. I'm skeptical of any Muslim that talks about America but leaves a Muslim society and comes to America. I'm skeptical about that. Why would you have all these other Muslim societies that you could go to, even if it was bad in your country? Even if something was going on in your country, there's 50, 60 other Muslim countries that you could have made hijra to. Why come to America if this society is that bad? If this is the great Satan and all the things that Muslims say that actually affects our psyche if we're Americans, why come here? So to me, you're kind of suspect anyway, or at minimum hypocritical. You're either hypocritical or suspect, one or the other.
I mean, it could be both, but I mean, we know part of the reasons why people come from other places to America. It's different. I mean, the education is different here. There's many universities and places that you can learn. You know, and they come here most of the time. Most people that I have ever talked to that come from different lands, and all of I have ever heard was, I've come here because, you know, the education is better, or I'm a engineer, and you know, I wanted to kind of go and make it in Hollywood and use my skills here. I went to school there, but I'm coming here, and it's more opportunity here than it is where I'm at. You know, and that's understandable. But, you know, I understand where you're coming from.
Why America? Why not Pakistan? Why not Indonesia? Why not Malaysia? Why not Saudi? Why not Qatar? Why not Yemen? Why not Nigeria? Why not Costa Rica? Why not, I mean, 50 other countries. If America is that bad once you get here, and first of all, it was that bad before you came here. I mean, let's not make them, then why would you come here? And why would you mortgage your children's future, possibly, over some money? So I'm saying, to me, like I said, the question is if you have that much of a problem with Americans and America, but you made hijra over here, then you're either suspect or you're hypocritical, one or the other.
Well, also, too, we have to look at it as, I mean, Allah knows best, but we have to look at it in both ways. I mean, even if someone doesn't know, but then also, too, they come over here, they want to judge or whatever like that, okay, you would think to help. But then also, too, us as Muslims over here in this Americanized society, corruption and all type of stuff, we have to look at that, too. What if that's like a sign from Allah? What if, because the life we live in, we know it's a straight test. So even if we do know that it's people who have been raised in Muslim countries, been brought up in it, they got generations of family who've been raised in it, and that's just how their life is, even though we was brought here as blacks, Africans, or whatever, to the American society, we didn't ask to be, we was put here. But, like, it's a hadith that says something like a person only gets what they earn, what they strive for. So us as black Americans who was brought here, we have to struggle hard, labor hard each day mentally and physically to get back to our natural mentality of learning and obtaining knowledge and applying our deen the way we're supposed to. It's a struggle for us, but we got to do it.
I mean, I like that. That was a good answer.
Oh, okay, cool. You calmed him down, Amir. Thank you so much.
Well, my husband blows it in my ear, Muhammad Torah. He blows that in my ear. A man only gets what he strives for. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Hold on. Your husband is Muhammad Torah,
yes.
With the Taqwa Media.
Wait, what?
With Taqwa Media, Muhammad Torah?
No.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm thinking about another Muhammad Torah that I met. Okay, I'm sorry. There's another brother that I know that's a good brother named Muhammad Torah. I was going to say, oh, you're Muhammad Torah's wife. Okay. Yeah. I just saw him a couple of weeks ago.
Oh,
but
really?
My thing is, I know that we need to strive harder.
Mm-hmm.
I know that we need to strive more here, but we're just learning how to do that.
Right.
So if your society is that great and you know how to do it, why not be helpful? Why hinder us? That's my point. Why hinder us?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, it's not only the foreigners that come from other countries, but it's also Americans themselves. I mean, I got an email from someone that said to me about listening to Muslim Heat Radio. They had emailed me and said that we have enough indoctrination from progressive liberals. The last thing any self-respecting American wants to hear is any friggin' nonsense from Muslims. And this is, I'm reading what was told, to stop supporting Hamas, Al-Qaeda, and stop the constant assault on Israel, and we might listen to what you have to say.
Hmm.
This is what this person wrote to me.
Tara, listen, though. We have a responsibility to give dawah to that person. This is our culture. This is our people. Our people are not in Somalia or Saudi or where Pakistan or wherever. This is our people. These are our culture mates. And so we have a responsibility to reach and teach that person. But if we can't even fix ourselves because somebody wants to have us debating over this imam says pray with your hands down and this imam didn't, you know, if that's the debate that you want us to have when we're trying to purify ourselves.
That was a real big issue at one point. I remember, in the community where I was at, that was a little bit of an issue, hands up, hands down. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of people said it doesn't matter. You know, I mean, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did both.
Right.
Well, I'm saying regardless, that's not the issue. Our issue is that somebody's brother or sister that wrote that to you. That's who America is. That's where we came from. That's who we are. That could be half of my family right there that says that. As a matter of fact, it is half of my family.
Hmm.
So my point is I have to figure out how to change my Islam and affect that person right there. That's who I need to affect and make a positive change for and get them to, even if they don't become Muslim, to be a better person, to be more kind, to be more generous, to give more charity, to be more God-conscious, God-minded. Now, how do I go about doing that? How do I do that? You know, teach me how to do that. Don't teach me how to be a Pakistani. Don't teach me how to be an Indian where Muslims still practice the caste system. So, you know, stop talking about America when it's that bad all over the Muslim world. You know, that's the issue right there. As bad as they say America is, it's worse in the Muslim world. You just did the thing where they were made a separate category in Iran for people to have sex changes. Yeah, so don't tell me how bad it is in America when it's like that all over the world. The acting imam at the West End community, he went to Saudi. You know what he went to Saudi for? When he went to Saudi to study and he lived there for a few years, he went to Saudi because they didn't know how to counsel people getting over heroin addictions. And this is in the 70s. You know, so later with all that nonsense, teach me Islam in a way that I can affect that person that wrote you that letter, or my cousins that are crackheads and alcoholics and drug dealers and don't believe in God. I have five cousins, astaghfirullah. SubhanAllah, Allah, please give me strength. I have five cousins that told me they don't believe in God no more.
Yeah. There's a lot of people out there like that.
Well, we just got to continue to be the bigger, if we're servants of Allah, we got to continue to be the bigger person and set by example. Never like, I know it's a lot of Muslims that I know too who didn't like shut their family off or turn them off because their family don't accept the fact that they're Muslim. But no, I've learned to, the closer you keep your family, after a while, it may take years, months, or who knows, may not be in this life, to where they actually see the example that you set and that Allah has taught us to be. And like the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I now have it where I have one of my cousins who then took Shahada. Never thought in my life that she would. You know what I mean? But it's like, as long as we be a good example, inshallah, to come through and always be there for them. And it's another thing my husband always said to me, too, that he got from Abdullah Hakim Quick. It's something about, Allah forgive me for anything I said wrong, like your enemies, be kindest to them. Be the kinder person in their face to where they have nothing to hold on your back and you're getting constant blessings from Allah. That's our strive right there, to please Allah, not these people.
Absolutely. Those of you who just tuned in, this is Out of the Box on Muslim Heat Radio, sponsored by American Muslim 360. If you want to get in on this conversation, hit us up at 646-716-4478. The number again is 646-716-4478. And Amira, I know you have some information on how they can support these shows on American Muslim 360 and also Muslim Heat Radio. Can you give them that information, please?
Yes, ma'am. All you got to do is go to AmericanMuslim360.com. Click on your membership section for the seniors and the youth. The price is $14.95. For the adults, it's $24.95. For any masjids, businesses, or organizations, it's a monthly fee of $99. And Tara, what else you got to go with that?
With that $99 membership fee for masjids, organizations, and businesses, you'll get a month of free commercial airing. 7 days a week, 3 to 4 times a day, every 3 to 4 hours. So it is a good membership to get for any of those businesses, inshallah.
We're going to some kind of break
right now.
Yeah, let me do this first. Let me bring this person up, and you better not hang up. I know you see it. I see you on the line, but I do want to get his input. He's a brother that he's a little bit younger than me, but he's actually a brilliant brother. I think once he finishes his secular education, he'll be a secular scholar one day. So, yeah, Kalwani,
okay.
I'm talking about you. I'm about to bring you on real quick because I want to get your input on that. So, I'm like, well, first of all, let me say, we go off the air when Out of Box goes off, we go off the air for 30 minutes, and then the Adair Fair comes on. So, Kalwani has the show on Muslim Heat Radio. But I'm calling you out, brother, and I've been watching you because I wanted to make sure that you was hearing the whole conversation. And I know
you heard
the whole conversation. So let me get your input, brother.
That's what I want to.
And then we'll take a break. Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum
salam. Well, I when I came in, you guys were talking about people being critical of the United States. And I think that you were talking about people, Muslims coming here and being critical of the culture here or their ability to practice Islam here or the way that indigenous Muslims practice. I don't know exactly what y'all were discussing.
Or basically just our culture and our struggle to establish Islam and be better people and be better Muslims.
Well, you know, like, my opinion is a little different than your opinion is. Like, my opinion is that, I mean, I think that there is one Islam, you know, and I think that that Islam really looks the same to an extent no matter where you go. You could walk into a masjid in Malaysia, and you should have the same experience that you have when you walk into a masjid in Michigan. So, you know, it shouldn't really, I don't think the religion itself should change. And along with that, we hear all the time, Islam is a way of life. Islam is a way of life.
Mm-hmm.
So because Islam is a way of life, I mean, it goes without saying that Islam has its own culture. And that culture, I think that a mistake that we make sometimes is that we assume that culture is Middle Eastern culture. That culture is a Saudi culture. That culture is a Pakistani, Afghani culture. It's a Indo-Pak culture, but it's not. The culture is the culture of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if we follow the Sunnah, I think that right there alone is enough to get us to where we need to be, and we're not kind of concerned about what cultural influences come into Islam and what we need to preserve in our culture. Because when Rasulullah came, you know, we know that the Sunnah are the things that he was aware of, and the things that he practiced himself, and the things that he was okay with. So people did it in his presence, or he did it personally, and those are things that he was in agreement with. So I mean, if I can live my life according to the Sunnah as I know it and continue to study what the Sunnah is, and I'm not worried about its conflict with my particular culture, because culture changes. Culture, like, since the beginning of time, culture changes, and it's going to continue to change. So if we try to adapt our way of life with the way of life of a particular culture, of a particular region in a very specific time, I mean, African-American culture is what? Come on, it's like 400 years old. That's not very old, you know. No culture on the face of the earth is very old. I mean, considering how long human things have been in creation. So I think that ultimately our job is to follow the culture of what we know Muslims to be. And that goes from Adam to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the culture is consistent in terms of how you submit to the will of Allah, the way that you're compassionate to others, the advice that you give, the examples that you give to other people. And I think that if we do that, we should be straight. I mean, I think that if...
Yeah? I think the phone cut off.
Oh, I'm here.
I'm ready to go.
Can you hear me?
Walaikum salam. Can I ask you, is there a hand up for 323273 at all?
323273, no.
We were having a word of the day, which was actually pretty much, it's a nice word of the day. And I don't know if the sisters raised their hand up. Sister Angel, can you press 1 to give us the word of the day? Inshallah.
Hold on, Kalfani. Are
here,
you there?
Here.
Kalfani.
I'm here.
Okay,
can you hear me?
I'm not sure what happened. Yeah. Yeah, so listen, Kalfani, hold that thought, because we do have to take some commercial breaks. Let me take a commercial break, and then we'll come back and continue the conversation. And everyone, this is Out of the Box. I know you're not used to hearing brothers, except for the brother Jump. But Sister Tara's having some issues with her. You know, logging into the system and running the radio.
American Muslim 360 is proud to present the Thursday morning edition of A New Day for Al-Islam in America Radio with your host, Yusuf Ramadan.
Time someone asks you to try this bean pie, was it what you thought? Well, OrganoGold healthy certified halal coffee isn't what you think either. Peace be unto you. This is Fahim Shuai. Reach me at sabilillah@aol.com so I can send you some free samples. Health and wealth in a cup of coffee. That's sabilillah@aol.com. Assalamu alaikum.
You looking for a great education in Islamic studies? Then Islamic Online University is the place to be. The Islamic Online University is the world's first tuition-free Bachelor's of Arts in Islamic Studies in English completely online. The Islamic Online University offers a series of free diploma classes along with intensive undergraduate and graduate courses guided by Dean and founder himself, Dr. Bilal Phillips. Take advantage of this unique opportunity right now to deeply understand the major areas of Islam. Apply what you learn to your lives and share this divine legacy with the world around you. Register right now at www.islamiconlineuniversity.com. Anyone, anytime.
Girl, I ain't no Muslim to do all that. You are now tuned in to Muslim Heat Radio on American Muslim 360.
Assalamualaikum. I'm your host, Tara Walker, along with guest host today, Riyadh, and Kalfani Adair, who has come over and taken over the show. No, I'm just kidding. And Amira Ali. We have a word of the day today, but I don't know if Miss Angel is ready. Riyadh, do you see that 323273 with the hand up?
No.
Okay, well, we do have a guest today, and actually we probably need to get to him. He is rapper extraordinaire Charlie Tuna from Jurassic 5, and he's come to visit us today on Out of the Box to share with us a little bit about
what's going on. Kalfani, I'm going to go ahead and turn your mic off. I definitely appreciate you. And make sure y'all tune in at 3:30 for the Adair Affair. 3:30 Eastern, 12:30 Pacific.
Thanks, Kalfani. Assalamu alaikum.
Hello, Tom.
Yes, Riyadh.
Yeah,
cool. You see a 323348.
Yeah, I got you.
The hand is up. Can you please
yeah.
bring him in?
Yeah, the mic is on.
On air now. Hello, Charlie Tuna. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Wa alaikum salam.
Long time no talk to.
I know, right? That's why I'm laughing. I'm like, wow, it's been ages.
No, I remember the last time we spoke, it was on the corner of Silver Lake and Glendale, and we were walking home from school, and you were filling my head about music, how you were in a band and how you were just going to, you know, you're taking it to the next level. It's going to be big. I mean, you had that on you way back then. I can't say, I think about 89. I'm not even sure. And all I could do was think when I was looking at you and hearing, I mean, you were going like 100 miles a minute. I mean, just passionate about music. All I could think was this guy is really tall. He is taller than most men in our school. I said, it's nice to look up at somebody, a male figure, and look up at him, and I don't have to look down on him. But, you know, that passion has been in you for a long time. Welcome to Out of the Box.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. That's crazy that you said all that stuff because I'm like, man, I remember that vividly. Yeah.
It's funny. But, I mean, it goes to show that when you stick to your passions and, you know, Allah has a plan for you and you strive hard to work at it, you know, it manifests, and that's exactly what you've done. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. I'm just grateful, you know. I really am. I try to just do what Allah got me to do, you know what I'm saying, from a heartfelt perspective and not just necessarily trying to plan it or plot it all out, because I know sometimes, you know, what we plan ain't what God got planned for. So I just kind of like, you know what I'm saying, I let it all crash into itself, and I'm trying to just stay as grateful as possible, you know.
Alhamdulillah. And I didn't know you were Muslim back then.
Yeah, long time. My father was part of a lot of stuff in Chicago, so I think that's how I was introduced to it all, you know.
Okay. So I hear that you're working on a new album. Can you tell us a little bit? Is it going to be like, you know, like a lot of like your old stuff, or is this a brand new Charlie Tuna that we're going to like be able to hear?
I think it's a mixture of everything, you know. It's like, I think experiences is what I'm trying to capture in this next installment. I'm going to try to call it Against the Current, which is like basically saying what exists now is not necessarily what was the inspiration for who I am and what I do. So I was going to try to display that regardless of what is most popular at the time. And so, you know, with a double meaning of, like, you know, some old fish stuff like swimming upstream. It's kind of an attempt to just, you know, like I said, show what made me who I am and what inspired me back in the day, you know what I'm saying, musically. So.
Okay. So I kind of want to ask, I mean, you're traveling all over the world, and I know that you in the group Jurassic 5 were, like, you know, a group. Is there going to be, like, any kind of reunion anytime soon with all of you traveling and touring?
I mean, inshallah, I don't know, you know, I can't predict the future, man, only God knows, you know what I mean, but Jurassic was a group that existed because of friendship and because of like minds and, you know, like hearts and stuff like that. I mean, we, you know, the majority of us was Muslims. It still is, you know, to this day. And I feel like the reasoning behind us breaking up was more so similar to like a bad marriage than you know, some business decisions of or something like that. So I think the reconciliation between friends has to happen before there's any, like, creativity involved. You know what I mean?
Okay. How's that going?
God willing, it's going, you know, slowly but surely. You know, I feel like time heals all wounds. So I just got to kind of smile at every day and just, you know what I'm saying, thank God that a lot of us are still friends and you know, are speaking in our own speaking terms and are dealing with each other from perspectives that ain't got nothing to do with music and, you know, what done happened in the past. That's a blessing in itself. So I'm just, you know, I'm smiling at that and hoping for the best.
Alhamdulillah. May Allah bring you all together and, you know, reconcile you all and make your friendship even more prosperous than it was before. Now, I kind of have a question about one of your songs, and I really like the song. It really gets me hyped up to, like, really just get into the groove and to the hustle and do my thing. Of course, by the grace and mercy of Allah, Step Your Game Up. What was the inspiration behind Step Your Game Up? I love that song.
Wow. You know, it's a trip. That song, thank you, first and foremost. I appreciate that. I think the inspiration behind it all was like a you know how people was like focusing on, like, I guess, jihad in a negative sense. I mean, just more so where I was coming from was just like the war with self and the different little things that cause you to stray from like the path, you know what I'm saying, so to speak. So I felt like I couldn't really be trying to tell the next man to step their game up more so than I'm talking to myself and trying to fix the negative aspects of myself. So I was like, it's a kind of introverted song, you know what I mean? Like, I'm talking to myself first, and then hopefully by correcting those things or you know what I'm saying, inspiring myself to stand up, so to speak, I hope I can inspire others, you know, so.
Yeah, no, you do inspire. I mean, I'm inspired by that song. I love that song, and I don't get offended by it. And just you explaining that you're talking to yourself, because I do that all the time. Like, if I'm talking to somebody or we're having a conversation and we're trying to better ourselves, it's like I'm looking at myself on the outside of myself speaking to me, you know.
Right.
And it comes across differently when you do that opposed to us telling somebody, you know, step your game up, homie, you know, like,
right.
On that
exactly.
level, because sometimes people get offended. So the song is definitely not offensive. It's more motivation than anything, and that's one of the reasons why. Like, it's hard. It's hard, definitely. And I like, you know, your delivery and everything, the track, but it's definitely not offensive. It's inspirational. So I do thank you for
taking it. Can we play it?
Yeah,
can
yes.
we play it?
Is that you, Riyadh?
All right, here we go. So that everyone else knows what song they're talking about, here we go. Charlie Tuna, Step Your Game Up.
Step Your Game Up.
Step Your Game Up. Step Your Game Up. Well, it's the late, great fish again from the great state underneath Lake Michigan. Keep us safe just in case Chase missing, and I speak frigid anytime I think Chase missing in. Okay, first and foremost, make my purse first, cause I put thirst before jokes. Moving with rumors, I try to ignore folks, immature blokes whose whole cloaks are pure hopes. Shift the eyes, the fish be wise, risky flies can lead you to a quick decline. Get your arms wrapped up like some twisty ties. Haters are sick, but witnessing how quick we rise. Yep, my mama told me to resolve my fix of great, or everything around me will dissolve and dissipate. Yeah. Never learning is a fast disaster, and foolish is the student who don't surpass the master. The reason that you have to step your game up, put in work, make you notice your rep and came up. Yeah. More than evil attempts to gain bucks, if you're shooting for your dreams too low, then aim up. Step your game up, heavy push, make you notice your rep and came up. Yeah. Trying to build up your name, remain tough, grind till your brain busts, and step your game up. Keep it funky long as I can, like imagine. Making each record that I do better than the last one. Inside the past.
fashion. I tried to make it happen, so I don't have to wear a ski mask and blast guns. The first son of the area hurt. When I'm in America, they raise the terror alert. Scary when I leave your area dirt. Cadence and clarity is making sure your stereo work. Very alert. Got you switching your choice. Shit, we hit you with it, make you change the pitch in your voice. Intricate with every step, we make you slippery with voice. And my constituents will get to the point, ripping the joint. Over the bass and the treble clap. Hot like we hit you in the face with the devil's breath. But just in case that the level slips, never fret. Just pick up the pace like you never left. That's why you gotta just have to game up. Put in work, make it slowly so repped and tame up. More than evil attempts to gain bucks. If you're shooting for your dreams too low, then aim up. Step the game up. Heavy push, make you know that your rep and came up. Try to build up your name, remain tough. Grind till your brain busts and step your game up. Solid mind, cause a black Columbine contract on the fine print, stack dollar signs. Gotta push, cause a lot of cats out of time. Holla back on a dime, on a black, gotta grind. The day that this rap became a weapon is the day that I was going to adapt to gain acceptance. The poorest people make scratch by any method. If you're desperate, you pull up the strap to send a message. That's why you gotta just have to pull up. Put in work, make it notice, so rep and came up. More than evil attempts to gain bucks. If you're shooting for your dreams too low, then aim up. Step your game up, heavy push, make you know that your rep then came up. Trying to build up your name, remain tough, grind till your brain busts and step your game up.
This is Charlie Tuna of Jurassic 5. You're now tuned into the sounds of my sister Tara on Muslim Heat Radio. Assalamu alaikum.
So if you're just tuned in, this is Out of the Box on Muslim Heat Radio, sponsored by American Muslim 360, and we are on air with Charlie Tuna from Jurassic 5, talking about his new album, some of his passions, and I would like to ask you, when are we going to get, like, a Silver Lake reunion? Charlie Tuna returns to Silver Lake concert event at Silver Lake Park Recreation Center.
Wow, that would be fresh, wouldn't it? Because it's all big.
It would.
You know, it's not a play. It's not a small place like it used to be, so it would be pretty cool. I'd be down whenever.
Okay, yeah. Okay, well, maybe inshallah in the future we can set that up. Inshallah,
yeah,
that would be nice.
That would
be
nice.
You like painting. Like, I've seen some of your artwork, and it's pretty nice. Do you sell any of that artwork?
Well, you know, I've been in the process of trying to establish a relationship with this company that can help me mass produce it in a way that's like, you know what I'm saying, professional and real authentic, and, you know what I'm saying, as opposed to it being some quick, like, you know, me selling prints and, you know what I'm saying, just printing it on you know, quick paper and getting it out there like that. I wanted to present them with, you know, care and love and really, you know what I'm saying, if somebody is trying to purchase a painting of mine or a duplicate of mine, a print of mine or something, it was on something that's really nice that they can, you know what I'm saying, hang up in the house. So I just finally finished that, and I'm thinking by the end of this month it should all be done, and you can get it off charlietuna.com in any fashion you want. We print it on glass, on metal, on canvas, like exact duplicates of the painting, as opposed to, you know, like I said, something that's just real cheap looking. Inshallah, you'll be able to get it like by the end of the month, I think.
Inshallah. So we go to just to charlietuna.com to purchase the artwork.
Yep, that's it.
Uh-huh. Alhamdulillah. Now, I know you've been in the industry for a minute, and I know you were like, there was an article
like,
about you being like, well, like, come on.
Tom, for the people that may not know, to spell that out, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's C-H-A-L-I, the number 2-N-A, .com.
Cool. Thank you for that. Some of the there's an article about you being the, like, amongst the top 25 voices in rap.
Wow, really? Where?
Yeah, it was online. I was actually doing some research on you. Now, I can't go to that. I mean, they put you with the, you know, Ice Cube and KRS-One. It was an article somewhere, top 25 voices of rap. Oh, I thought you knew about that. I thought they actually interviewed you and everything.
Alhamdulillah, I'm just glad somebody thinking of me in the same vein. You know, that's cool. That's a beautiful thing right there.
Yes. It's Speaking of which, you've been in the industry for a minute. Like, who were some of the artists that you've worked with?
Wow. Well, by the grace and mercy of Allah, I've been able to work with a lot of different people, from hip hop artists to people outside of hip hop. A lot of people in the hip hop world that I've been able to work with have been like, man, who? Mos Def, Talib Kweli, wow. I'm just blanking right now. I mean, Lyrics Born, all of the people from the underground era, you know, from my era, like, you know, Good Life Days, which is like, you know, mid to late 90s. Excuse me, actually from like early to mid-90s actually is when the Good Life was happening. But so I'm thinking like, man, I mean, it's so many people, Cardinal, Official, I don't know, but outside of
it. The most memorable one? Or the one that you like was with most?
The craziest, like, hip-hop artist that I like working with the most is a guy from outside of the country. He's from England. His name is Roots Maneuver. That was fun. Just to go out there and hang out with that dude in his world and vibe out with a bunch of cats, you know what I'm saying, that make up the hip-hop scene in London. That was amazing, you know, and it was just fun to be able to learn from these dudes and how they record and how they approach music. So that made me, you know, get on that kind of journey of trying to learn from each time that I record. And, like, outside of the hip-hop genre, I've been able to record with people like David Byrne, from Talking Heads to like George Clinton, you know what I'm saying? So it's been a crazy journey. You know, I really appreciate the journey, for real.
Did you ever, I mean, in your wildest dreams, stand on that corner of Silver Lake and Glendale, did you ever think that it would be like this?
No. You know, to tell you the truth, you know, I mean, me personally, I was like, you know, fresh out of Chicago, I was like, okay, I'm going to do something. Just because of the people surrounding me, to be perfectly honest, when I first came to California, it was like 86. I was at a Bancroft Junior High before I came to Marshall. And over there, I mean, everybody was there. Like, that turned out to be rap dudes like Volume 10 or Son Doobie or Muggs from Cypress Hill or, like, all of these different people, Everlast, all these different people were, like, you know, at that school or around it, or friends of people that was at that school. And I'm just like, when I came, I was like, dude, if people can do, I'm in school with these guys, and I, you know, these are dudes on the radio, and I'm like, man, I can do this too. It's kind of how I thought about it, you know what I mean? So, but I didn't think,
yeah,
as far as the extent, nah, I didn't know. I didn't know I'd be able to get on a plane and fly 15 hours and be in Singapore or something like that. I didn't know I was going to be able to do that kind of stuff. And I'm definitely, like I said, I'm grateful, definitely grateful, because I've learned so much, so much.
Yeah. Allah is merciful, and it surprised you too. Speaking of Funk Dubious, we haven't heard from this cat in like ages, you know, like he was on Power 106. I mean, that was a name you brought up that was like a blast from the past. I remember hanging out with him and things like that. He's like ghost off the face of the planet.
Well, I don't know. I had to be perfectly honest, I haven't talked to him in ages. But one of his bandmates from Funk Dubious was on tour with me about 4 or 5, maybe 6 months ago, Ralph M. And Ralph said he's doing good, said he's all right. So that's all I wanted to hear. I was like, long as he good, long as he taking care of his mom, because, you know, his mom was so cool to me. So, yeah.
Are there any artists that you want to work with now that you really are interested in getting with and collaborating on an album or on a track together?
Yeah, it's a couple of dudes. I've been privileged to be able to work with a lot of reggae cats. I would have loved to have been able to work with Buju Banton. Unfortunately, he's locked up, but that's a dude I would love to have worked with. And it's this cat named Richie Spice that I'd love to work with. Man, these dudes are dope. But, you know, like, as far as, like, big names, people like Stevie Wonder, Odd Man, I mean, I can sit there and take it back to just my mom in them days and just listening to some of these cats who are still making music, like I said, like Stevie Wonder or Ronald Isley or somebody like that, just to get their voices on a track to and kind of be able to direct them to do something that I'd like them to do. That'd be just phenomenal, man. You know, to me, for real.
Yeah, I can see you and Ron doing something together.
Mr. Big would take him out of his Try to take them out of that big pimp element and put them in another element, though. That'd be crazy, you know?
Yeah, something smooth and, like, inspirational. Inshallah.
Exactly.
I hear that tonight you're going to be performing on behalf of a friend, correct? Tell us a little
bit about that. I was going to try to show up to it, but at the last minute, my mom is really sick, so she's in the hospital right now, so I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to show up. But if you can still go, it's a lot of people still performing, cats like Ugly Duckling, it's a lot of underground, like local cats as well that are performing. But it's for my little brother. His name is Noah. He has a condition called, his name is Noah Stout, and he's the son of Kinetic Source, who used to perform with Ozo Motley I did. But it's his son, and he has a condition called pontine glioma. It's like a cancerous, like, tumor that grows around the brain stem, and he's only like 4 or 5 years old. So he's like battling that, and they're battling it with some alternative medicine from this doctor called Dr. Brzezinski out in Houston, and it seems to be working. Like, it's breaking down the tumor at this moment. You know what I'm saying? Grace Mercy of Allah, radiation free and things of that nature. So it's just like, you know what I'm saying, we're trying to not bombard the child with all of that extra stuff that don't seem to give him a chance anyway. You know what I mean? So it looks like it's been working, and we're just trying to keep up the funding by throwing benefits. I'm gonna try to make it, but my mom really kind of needs me, so there's a chance that I might not be there, and I apologize for the people who might be coming just to see me.
Okay. Where can you tell us where it's at?
It's gonna be at the GABA in Hollywood, I think it's Normandy and Melrose, if I'm not mistaken.
The GABA, G-A-B-A?
G-A-B-A-H, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, GABA.
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah. I hope your mom gets better, and you know, may Allah, heal her and give her ease.
Thank you. She really needs it. Boy, she needs as much encouragement as possible, because she always feels like people ain't in her corner. I'm like, Mom, come on, you know.
Yeah, I like your mom.
Yeah, you know my mom. You know,
so wait, speaking of children, do you have children yourself?
I just got one son. He's about to be 20 years old this year, and he's
Are you serious? Wow.
Yeah, he's a big guy. He's I'm proud of my son. You know what I'm saying? He's going to school. He's at Chaffee College, and he's just like, you know, it's the second year, and he's just trying to do the young adult thing. You know what I mean? And I'm just happy that he ain't, you know, all wild and crazy like he could be at this age. You know?
Robin Banks, right?
I mean, you know, or you know, something slightly subtle but still as effectively destructive. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So is he leaning towards music as well?
Well, I mean, I think he has it naturally, but I don't know. You know, he's at that stage where, you know, he's trying to figure out his path, his niche. You know, so I'm trying to give him the room to do that without, you know, giving him enough rope to kind of hang himself, so to speak. You know, I'm just trying to help him and encourage him in whichever way that seems, you know, like something he could do that he loves. Because I told him, you know what I'm saying, you find something you do that you can do professionally that you love, and it won't feel like you're working at all. You know, that's kind of how I do it. You know, I'm like I said, I'm grateful, you know. So I'm trying to make him see that from that perspective, and it's been cool. But like I say, at his age right now, from where we were, you know, different.
Yeah,
and I'm
definitely.
Happy about that.
Inshallah, before you leave us here out of the box, I wanted to ask you, do you have somewhat of a message or advice to our generation of people, you know, the community at large? What's your best advice that you can give them in today's world?
Well, in today's world, I think all things, as human beings, we're set on being separate from each other and separating ourselves, our worlds, our ideas, and our spirituality, upbringing, and outlook from each other. You know what I'm saying? I think more so people should focus on our similarities than our differences. I think we're different so that we can learn. And because You know what I'm saying? Those differences exist. We should be learning as opposed to trying to, you know, focus on the things that may lead us down those wrong paths. You know what I'm saying? So I just think, you know what I'm saying, the outlook of being aware of what this, you know what I'm saying, what is provided to you and for you in this life, you know what I'm saying, should be more, you know what I'm saying, advertised, more focused, more, you know, we should big that aspect up more than we should be, you know what I'm saying, focused on all of the negative aspects of the world, like these wars that are created out of the desperation for money and things of that
right.
nature, you know? I just think, you know what I'm saying, a lot of the kids nowadays are presented with all of these negative aspects and realities and choices and pathways as opposed to, you know what I'm saying, seeing how we could join together. They see more so how we can separate. And I just think the focus on the similarities is just more vital, in my opinion, than anything.
Well, I want to thank you. And maybe, like, when before your new album drops, you can come back to Out of the Box and share, you know, some of that music with us. Talk a little bit about the album when it first comes out. I thank you so much for coming. Maybe you can even do some collaboration with some of these people on the East Coast, like Riyadh and Miss Latifah, and get with them and, you know, do some things, inshallah. More than there.
Yes, man. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me on your show, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Sally, for coming. So we'll see you soon, inshallah. May Allah increase you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum salam.
Those of you just tuned in, this was Out of the Box on Muslim Heat Radio. I am still waiting for.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah. Assalamu alaikum. This is Yeah. Muslim Heat Radio. Get to the paradise, inshallah. All the way out the box. Yeah. Assalamu alaikum. Love y'all.
Not the world that I knew before.
Things ain't what they used to be.
The times they change and people do too.
Open your eyes and you will see.
For the better or worse, man, it's up to you.
Things ain't what they used to be.
The times they change and people do too.
Open your eyes and you will see.
Time of illusion, so special and great. Too many liars, can't tell the real from the fake. I heard the end is so near, get right before it's too late. Yeah, handle your business, stay focused, KK. Sometimes I fall back and wish I could escape from this nightmare. Awake, break free, take it back when no one else can. Too busy with the day-to-day grind. And nowadays, even grandparents have to work overtime. No respect for the foundation, forgot our destination. So we distracted on the wrong path and confusion got us doing things out of the ordinary, natural.
Assalamu alaikum, this is DJ Anis Cannon from Remarkable Current. I'm listening to Out of the Box on Muslim Heat Radio. Peace.
Assalamu alaikum, this is Out of the Box on Muslim Heat Radio, sponsored by American Muslim 360. We just had Charlie Tuna from Jurassic 5 on the line, just giving a little bit of insight on him and what he's doing. He's supposed to be, or he was going to show up at GABA in Hollywood, on behalf of his friend's son, but inshallah he'll be there. But you also heard that, you know, his mother is slightly ill, so please keep your make dua for her, inshallah. Riyadh, assalamu alaikum.
Amira.
Assalamu alaikum, I'm still here.
Yeah, okay. Do you see that 323273 hand up? Because I can't see it. If so, please bring her on the line. But Angel had a word of the day with attraction, and she had some nice insight on that. But, you know, I would love to have her on the line.
My phone was on mute. My bad.
Oh, you're bad. Okay.
You said
323-273. First of all, I want to thank Riyadh for coming on today and helping me for these last 3 hours today, because this was his day off. The brother came to assist me because I am unable to get to the switchboard properly. So, Riyadh, oh, thank you. You're a lifesaver. I appreciate you so very much, and may Allah increase you, and may you prosper at every turn today. May Allah bring you surprises that you didn't think would be unexpected blessings today. Ameen. And every day.
Ameen.
Well,
the hand isn't
ahead.
Up on it. Oh, there it is. There it is. I'm sorry. I'm looking. There we go. Okay. Your mic is on.
Whose mic? Mine or sister or Angel?
Angel.
How are you all doing?
This is one of our co-hosts who is making her first appearance today with the word of the day. She had given the word of the day last night. It was like a great word for everything that we're talking about today. Assalamu alaikum, Angel. I'm so happy. I don't know if you guys seen The Ugly Truth, the movie, but I'm doing that quirky dance that she does when she was happy when something happened, but I'm like, I'm jumping inside.
I have to look that up.
Okay, me too.
Yeah. It's a funny movie. Like, every time something happened good, she would do this crazy dance, and her hair would go all over the place, and the guy would look at her like, this lady's nuts, but mashallah. So, the word of the day, Miss Angel?
Okay, the word I'm presenting for today is attraction. It can also be attract or attracted. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So now we attract inspirationally. We attract vibrationally. We attract through our words, the way we look, the way we feel. The way that you want to focus on is the way you attract vibrationally, and that means the way we send our messages. And if we're sending mixed messages, we typically attract someone to fulfill our disappointments. But when we are very clear about who we are and what we're doing, we tend to speak very clearly. Our message comes across clear. And the more clear that you become, the stronger the attraction to you. People are looking for people who are decisive, who are intuitive, people who can decide, and people who can commit. And these are the kinds of people you're looking for. So you want to be able to attract people you are not in conflict with, and that is people you're in collaboration with. So there are some people who have a conflict consciousness, and that means basically you're addicted to conflict and you go out of your way to be right all the time. So those type of people create controversy. And if you live in a lot of drama or chaos, well, you'll get rewarded by being sent someone to fulfill that craving that you're addicted to, and that is if you're addicted to disappointment. So if you're willing to let go of some of the disappointments and some of your addictions, then your transformation begins to show up in the words that you speak, and specifically the words that you speak about yourself. So the transformation begins with your intention and your words. So if you want to change your attraction mechanism, you need to be clear on what it is you're seeking. If you're seeking a soulmate or a business partner or someone you can collaborate with, someone that you can have that emotional connection with, then stop settling for the same situation over and over. Get clear about who you are. And most importantly, we need to become familiar with these two words, deserve and forgiveness. And if you're able to forgive, you'll be able to attract a whole different kind of person. But if you harbor resentment, anger, holding on to the past, holding on to people that no longer serve you, then you will continue to attract that same situation over and over. Thank you.
Wow.
Well, that was – are you still there? Are you off the phone
yes,
now?
I'm still there.
Oh, good. She was like, thank you. I was like, hello? No, you are so right. It is. That is. I mean,
I mean, I'll give you an example. I mean, when my children are, like, just going at it and they just won't stop and I get frustrated, I continue to get frustrated because they continue to do the same things in a sense, and it gets stronger and stronger and stronger because my frustration is getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And, I mean, and that's just a short example. It's not anything big, but it's true. And, you know, switching our focus and trying to, you know, switching our focus, which we can do in, like, a second and start feeling good about where we're at. Like, it's, you know, like looking at something that's beautiful. The sun is up. Oh, my God, the sun looks nice. Those trees are blowing in the wind so beautifully. You know, I'm grateful for my house. You know, when we start focusing our energy or our thoughts on what is positive in our life, you're right, it does change. And attraction is the key to attracting the right things opposed to attracting the negative things and how we do that. That was definitely inspirational, Angel.
Yes, it was, most definitely.
Oh, thank you. I'm happy to be here. Finally,
yeah.
To bring this to you.
Finally, I'm happy. Riyadh, so what are your thoughts on attraction?
My thoughts are that, well, everything she said, I agree with. And I think you do attract what you are. I think that's why you have to make a concerted effort that if negative, I don't want to say negative things, but if you're constantly in a bad mood, then maybe you need to check the people around you and get in a whole new group of people will have you look at life differently, because everything we go through is a test. So if you take those tests negatively, then, you know, that's pretty much the type of people that you're around or people are trying to get away from you, you know, so makes sense. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know that when I definitely know when my mind is not is on negative thoughts, you know, I attract more negativity, and that could be, you know, someone cutting me off or, you know, just, you know, I spill my coffee on myself or anything of this nature. I mean, it really is it really is what we think. You know, we're the only ones that could change our environment by changing us first. And that's pretty much the whole basis of our whole conversation today about people coming here and telling us what, you know, we should do or shouldn't do, the ills that we have with them because of it, how we feel like we're being degraded by them. You know, it all comes down to each individual person, which I'm thinking that this is what the law of attraction is about. It comes down to just me, myself, and I, and me changing me, which will change the environment around me. All those people who are thinking negative, once I start thinking positive, they'll just disappear. Or that positivity will, inshallah, you know, manifest upon them, and then they change their thinking, and so on and so on and so on, you know. And it's an incredible thing. Yeah. What about you, Amira? Assalamu alaikum, Amira.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Yeah.
Think about the things you'd have read about the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Think
sure.
of his attraction.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's deep. I never heard it like that before. But that was
mm-hmm.
very understanding and made a lot of sense.
Well, those of you who are listening right now, this is out of the box. If you have any questions, call us at 646-716-4478. The number again is 646-447-4478. Please, you know, say hello to our other host who has made her debut today with the word of attraction in a very powerful way, Angel Jerrigan. I love her so much, you know. She's like, she's in my heart always. So, Riyadh, do we have any people with questions at this time?
No, we have a lot of listeners, no people with questions. I think you guys are making it too plain and simple for them.
Oh, wow. You know what? That's not cool. You know, and we
I don't mean simple in the negative way. I mean, you guys are explaining it so well that they're understanding better. See that was a use of man language, and I had to clarify and put it into woman language terms. I had to estrogenize. So that wasn't negative.
I almost got insulted, brother. My attraction or my thoughts was going to, I'm offended, but now I'm back. You know, you brought me back to.
of understanding. I'm happy about that. I wanted to get into a question that actually Riyadh and I were talking about, the brother jump. I definitely want to ask this question.
I got to play the music first. You can't do the brother jump without the music. Let me find it.
All right,
everyone,
get ready.
Yeah, you just have to bear with me. Tara is not running her show today. She's having complications getting on. So here we go right here.
Dun-da-da-da.
The Brothers Jump.
Welcome back. This is a segment of The Brothers Jump. Real short, real sweet. I had hoped that Sister Imani would be here, but she is also on an appointment. So she had hoped to be here by this time, but she's not. So, mashallah. Riyadh and I were talking about this, and I really thought about it. About brothers coming from different lands, okay, or why don't brothers from different lands marry sisters here, you know, i.e. African-American, whatever the case may be. What is the issue with that? That's what I want to know, because there's a plethora of brothers out there that are single, no children, great jobs, you know, pray five times a day, always trying to please Allah, you know, but I've come across people from Lebanon, and I actually had someone from Lebanon told me that my daughter will not marry anybody outside of her race, you know, even though whether they're Muslim or his religion or whatnot, he was not going to have it, and he's from Lebanon. And yet he likes American women. He likes all sorts of them. So my question is, why, what is the problem, and why do you do this? Please call 646-716-4478. Now, Riyadh, I don't know if you can talk on behalf of some of these brothers who don't want to marry outside of their race, even though they're Muslim. What do you think the problem is?
Well, I mean, let's be real specific about this. The issue isn't necessarily out of the race. It's really just the issue is basically this, and there's always a few exceptions. It boils down to racism, and they don't want to marry a black woman, or they don't want their daughter to marry a black man or African-American man or even an African man, you know, and that's what it is. It's just racism. And until we address this issue wholeheartedly and confront it, it's so important and it's so prevalent that it's the last address that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to the people. That's the last khutbah. He talked about the race, and it's still going on today. Just as bad, if not worse. And so it's pure out racism. You know, now, you can be a sexual toy as a black woman, you know, and we see this by all the half black, half Arab children running around places like Detroit and Chicago. You know, and the fathers are Arab, and the children are, and the mothers are African American. Some are Muslim, some are not Muslim. So we definitely know that you're viewed as a sexual toy, or that they desire you, but you're not worthy in their mind. You're not worthy to have respect, to be taken care of, to receive inheritance, to have the stance of a wife, and vice versa. I'm not worthy, no matter what my station in life is, no matter how well my deen is, I'm not worthy to marry his daughter, basically. Now, I guarantee you, if a white Muslim with money was in that same position, it wouldn't be as much of an issue, because you see this happen all the time. And so it's really an issue of racism. And that's the bottom line. And we need to stop skirting the issue and pretending like that's not what it is.
Yeah. So basically the Islam, or, you know, being a Muslim for 20, 30 years, you know, and knowing that this kind of discrimination is not pleasing, It's like they don't get over that. It's kind of like that little discrimination stops us from really living the true life that Allah
would like us to live with no strings attached mentally as far as discrimination. And, yeah, I hate to be a play toy, somebody's play toy. I don't want to be your play toy, you know. You know, I am a woman worthy of a husband, you know, as well as the rest of the African-American women on the planet. You know, we are worthy, and we know that we're worthy. And I believe that a lot of them know that we are worthy. I do believe in some cases they are afraid. There's fear there. There's fear of not living up to what we expect them to live up to. I do believe that.
Well, I think the flip side of that also, too, is that African-American women in particular have pigeonholed themselves into thinking that they have to be with an African-American man. You got to be with a Muslim man. Go find you a husband. You know, I know a sister that just went to Egypt and found her husband and brought him back. Like the same way brothers go get them mail order brides from Morocco and Egypt and all that. She went and got her mail order husband. You know, and you know, sisters need La ilaha illallah Muhammad and Rasulullah. That's it. That's all a sister needs for a man to be legal. So, you know, you have the whole world out there. Go to Chechnya. You know, they deem hard in Chechnya. Go get you a Chechen brother. Open up your mind. Be, you know what I'm saying? Be more open. What's out there?
Wow, I never thought of Chechnya before. Maybe I should look into that.
Hey, it's Muslim brothers everywhere. And you're only limited by your own mind, because one of the things that Allah would tell us on the Day of Judgment was any excuse we have, did I not make the world or the earth spacious for you? You know, so it's not an excuse. And the same thing goes with all the Muslim men out there and African-American Muslim women are talking about they can't find a husband. I mean, it's an issue. It's a problem. Go to Mexico. Like, they have whole, like, areas of Mexico that are taking shahada and becoming Muslim, you know. So it's really no excuse, but there's a lot of racism that does take place, and it's flipped both ways, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the most part, in particular, when you're talking about the Lebanese, but it's just they don't respect black women enough to marry them, and they don't respect black men enough to marry their daughter to them.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that I should go to Mexico?
I'm saying La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah is the only requirement that you have to find a husband. That's the only requirement that you have to find a husband. That's it. That's the only requirement. The world
right.
Of faces. Bangladesh,
well,
China, Japan,
right.
New Zealand, you know, the Fiji Islands. I'm sure there's Muslims there.
Yeah, I'm sure. But I, you know, if I'm gonna marry anybody, you know, just know that you have to be above 6 feet, you know. So if you're listening overseas, the UK, China, Czechoslovakia, Yugoslavia, wherever you are, you know, I'm 6 feet, but you know, you need to be taller than me. Mashallah, inshallah. But I want to go back to what you were saying about the African-American woman only wanting to marry African-American men. You know, there are a lot of women out there, African-American women, who are open to marrying other than African-American men. And they are out there. There's some couples that you can see, you know, that are different races that are together. But, you know, it's a sickness, and somehow we have to get over this, you know. We talk about this all the time, and it's not hurtful to me. It's just kind of ignorant to me. You know, if I'm a Muslim, if you're a Muslim, like you said, the only requirement we need is La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. That's the requirement. And, you know, we need to get out of ourselves and attract, you know, the positiveness, you know, of our deen, opposed to being negative in the way we grew up, our culture, what our parents taught us, what we saw our grandparents do. You know, and inshallah, we can get to a more open-minded community, which opens up doors to help one another and be one, as Allah wants us to be, you know. But
well, let me say this, too. I think the sisters, in particular the African-American sisters, need to be...
Don't you say that mean.
Need to be more proactive about trying to find a husband. First of all, get a wali that you trust, not somebody that's just going to write you a pass to get married. And actively seek to find you a husband. I mean, actively seek to find you a husband. It's okay for you to inquire about brothers. What about this brother? I'm good. What about this brother? What about that brother? Brother, I'm looking to get a husband. So go talk to my Wally. Here's his number. You know, there's nothing wrong with doing these types of things. You know, this whole submissive attitude and this whole women just sit back and wait for everything to happen, that's not the life of the mothers of Islam. That's culture that has been crept into Muslims' lives. And so sisters can take control over this issue just as well as brothers can too. You know, so I feel like if the sisters exert themselves with standards, and that standard being Quran and Sunnah, then there's a lot of these issues that wouldn't necessarily be an issue also.
And, you know, brothers are wanted to be married. I mean, I haven't had any single brothers ask for my hand yet, but most of the brothers who have asked for me or have, you know, proposed in a sense, all of them are married. All of them. Not one single brother have I found like, hey, you know, sister, you know, you're single, I'm single. You know, let's get to know each other, or my Wali, you know. And that's a big issue. A lot of men who are seeking wives are already married seeking other wives. So where are all the single brothers? That's the question.
I think that should turn into a sister jump question and be like, why is it an issue if a married man that don't, you know, that doesn't have his fourth slot filled is trying to marry you? So that's my sister jump question.
Yeah, okay. We talking about, we had the brother jump right now.
All right, well, listen, Brother Calfani wants to chime back in real quick, so let me get
okay,
Calfani online because I know he's going through this right now.
Okay.
Now, I'll y'all jump Calfani. He's online now.
Well, like actually, I just wanted to echo what Ria was saying about that, you know, that third slot, that fourth slot, you know. I know it's the brother jump, but you know, I was wondering about that same question that he just asked.
Oh, so now you want to go? Now you both want to come in here and turn it around. So, okay, repeat the question again so that us sisters, inshallah, can answer it correctly for you.
Yeah, well, the question is, the sister jump question is, if a brother does come to you and his fourth slot isn't filled and there's no other issues, financial issues, what's the problem with that brother? He's still just as viable or able to marry you like a single brother would. So, and he's proven that he's willing to do it, and he's proven that he's willing to maintain another family or whatever. So why is that seen as something lesser than a single brother asking you?
Well, ladies, do you want to take this, or are you going to be? Do you want me to take this?
Well, no, go ahead, Tara.
Well, see, okay. First of all, I was married. I'm no longer married, and everybody knows why. My husband passed. I think with women, you know, for the women who are married, which are you two, which really should be speaking at this point, but I was a married woman. It's jealousy. I do believe it's worry about, you know, about the brother loving the other wife more than he loves the current wife. It's something new. It's like, I think it's more or less about getting lost in the shuffle, which, you know, just like you wouldn't want, and I mean, it's not permissible, but no man wants his wife to be with another man while with him. And I think sisters have that same principle, even though Islam permits the men to have more than one wife. You know, a lot of sisters say, well, he can't even take care of my household. Why are you going to go over there and take care of you, too? I mean, this is not right.
All right,
Tom, you know?
Listen, I don't want to cut you off, but we only have 5 minutes, and now, of course, the phone lines are starting to light up. So let me take this call.
Hold
on. Caller 251, you're on the air.
Yes, assalamu alaikum. What about the issue of one is best for you if you butt new?
Are you asking me or are you asking the sisters or just in general?
Just a question in general. When the Quran says one is, even though four is permissible, one is best for you if you butt new. And even if it's your ardent desire, you won't be able to do it.
Well, first of all, let me say this. One thing that we also have to understand is translating into the English has to be a very accurate affair. So even though it's translating word for word, it's not necessarily accurate the way that you're saying it. But at the same time, we all know that anything that was best for us in Islam, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have did it. So since the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't practice monogamy, we know that that's not necessarily the best thing for us. And you have to understand the context in which that's being said. That's being said if you can't be fair. If it's not within you to be fair, if you're doing it out of lust, if you're doing it out of arrogance, out of boastfulness, then of course one wife is best for you, because there's a lot of pitfalls and dangers that can happen when you take on more than one wife. So but the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the best example for us. And if that was the best in Islam, then the Prophet would have did it.
Okay, true. But what I'm saying, for me as a single brother, if I marry a woman and I love her, where is the room for the love from me as a human being for another woman?
I mean, brother,
maybe,
I can't answer
maybe
that.
You don't have.
You would have to answer that.
Yeah, right.
Even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he loved one of his wives more than he loved the rest of them, but he didn't show it in his actions. And he prayed to Allah to forgive him for which he didn't control. So the amount of love and affection that you have for something, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through his example, let us know that that's beyond your control. You may love one child more than you love another one, but you don't treat them differently. You don't let them see it. And so that's something, so the actual how you feel is something you can't control, but how you react to that, how you treat them, is what you can control, and that's what you're tested on.
Okay, so I'm trying to be in line with the instructions. That's my point. I'm trying to be in line with the instructions, and if I can't love her equally, maybe I meet all the financial part, but I can't love her equally as the other, to be just and fair. Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Islam is freedom, quality, and justice, freedom, and equality, right? So if I can't do it, then why would I step over in the arena that I know I can't fulfill?
Well, I think that for you, that wouldn't be that's not an arena that you should step into. I mean, because if you know going into it that you can't be fair, then it's obviously it's not for you.
True. So I wouldn't pursue it if it was me. I would marry one and I would stay with that one.
Exactly. If that's best, because it's major warnings in taking on more than one wife, and that's what that is. That's not a stop sign. That's like a stop sign with a barrier and a trap door and a moat and everything saying don't come over here unless you're able to handle this. So
yeah, a brick wall with spikes in it. Don't go there because that's destruction.
Right.
Thank you, brother, for your call. We have 90 seconds left here on the show. We can continue this, inshallah, next week. For those of you just listening, this is Out of the Box on Muslim Heat Radio. Please stay tuned for Kalfani Adair and the Dare Affair. It's from 3:30 to, what is it, 4:30, Kalfani?
5 o'clock.
Oh, so
we go off the air for 30 minutes, just so everyone knows we're going to go off the air for 30 minutes and come back on with the Kalfani Adair Affair.
Yes. So thank you so much for tuning in. Charlie Tuna, thank you for coming to the show. Riyadh, thank you again for being here. Angel, thank you for coming and introducing yourself for the first time. See you next week, inshallah, right here on Out of the Box. Assalamu alaikum.
And I can't find the end. Oh, yeah. No, I can't. Yeah, I did find the end. Here we go.
Log in 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to Out of the Box on Muslim Heat Radio, sponsored by American Muslim 360. To listen to archive shows, go to blogtalkradio.com/AmericanMuslim360.
Hello.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
I hope we're in the back room.
I don't know.
Angel? She left. Riyadh?
I know.
Okay, inshallah, I'll call you right back.
Okay.
Okay, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Hello?